Art radio station.
Someone's gonna get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
Yes, it is. Hey, you wanted the best, you got the best. Last talk show in the morning, anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, and we are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio, that iHeartRadio app. I've got a ton more people I'm trying to give a shout-out to. Listen to us all over the country and all over the world. We damn sure do appreciate it, and it's easy to do. Just go to iHeartRadio app, and you can catch us. You get thousands of radio stations and shows, but you got the Monsters in the Morning when you type in Real Radio 104.1 in Orlando. Actually, you can even say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio, and it'll do it for you. It'll do it if you say, Alexa, play the Monsters of the Morning. We have our own YouTube channel, iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. That's three words. The springboard to everything is at monsters.fm. So everything we're doing, you can find on our website at monsters.fm. It's got it all. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program, and with everyone this morning, we're going to do this until 11 o'clock. Here's the Goat Rubber Champion of Palatka, Florida, Dirty Jim.
Hello.
Our producer is the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera.
Hello.
And to my right is Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
To the top, never stop, baby.
And safely back from Mexico City, Mexico, is Savannah, the Gator Entertainer.
Hey!
The telephone number you can dial is 1-888-978-1041, or locally, it's 407-916-1041. The great, great thing about live talk radio is it's interactive. And while we're doing this, you're doing that, and you can text us, and we sit within seconds, we see what you text us, and sometimes we even text you back or read it on the air. It's easy. Just text us at 77031. That's the number. Just save that so you can text all the shows if you want to, but we'll monitor it pretty heavily and text you back sometimes. 77031, and you can email me, russ@wtks.com. I've been getting thousands of emails. People want to get their shout out. They want to let us know they're part of the Monster family. We appreciate that. And I wrote a bunch. I got like four or five pages today to do shout outs for you guys. And I appreciate that. What you can do is just go russ@wtks.com and just tell me like where you're at and, where you're listening from. And then, I'll try to throw it up there. And if you've got an email like you want us to answer a question or something like that, it's russ@wtks.com. So it's a beautiful Wednesday. So Savannah, I want to find out about your trip.
Yep.
You went to Mexico City, Mexico.
I did.
You're back alive.
I am.
Nobody tried to cut your head off or anything.
We didn't go that far.
Didn't go that far.
Didn't go that far in the conversation yet.
Good. Okay.
Big knife.
Okay. So I'm going to give you some time to tell. I want to just tell quickly a story about my. Sometimes if you know you have little idiosyncrasies or little
ticks
and twerks, you know?
Yeah.
And then sometimes you're like, okay,
twerks.
I'm going to try to. Are you
making a twerk video, Russ?
Hell yeah, let me see it.
I'm going to try to maybe curve these a little bit. I understand I do some things that are a little bit nutty, so maybe since I'm aware of them, then I cannot do them. So yesterday, you know, we were planning to go to see the new Jurassic. It was a Jurassic
World.
Yeah, yeah.
Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. We're all set to go see that.
Are we supposed to go? Dun dun dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Every time.
I was all set to go. You know, and for me, I always like to get to things an hour early. You know what I'm saying? Like way early. So I'm like, okay, you know. But Carlos said, I said, Carlos, what time are you gonna go see the premiere? And you said, starts at 7:30. I'll be there 7:15.
Yeah, because they had given us what is like a front of the line.
Oh thing. Yeah, like a what's it called? There's an entry there, like an early entry type thing, and you get good seats.
I don't go to all these a lot, but when I do, it's really nice. You're able to walk up. You talk about it afterwards. Obviously, they're part of the promotion, so we work together with them somewhat or whatever. So I was like, all right, let's just do the same thing that we've done
every other time.
Another time.
Yes. Right. Well, and anytime I've gone with as part of the press, I'll go there early, an hour early. I'm sitting there by myself for about an hour waiting. And then Carlos shows up with his popcorn, you know, 5 minutes before the movie's ready to go. I'm like, okay. I'm like, Russ, you're crazy. Stop doing this crazy thing where you're way, way early to everything. So I tell my wife, I said, listen, let's go get some wings beforehand. We'll be right by the movie theater.
Right.
And then, you know.
And you can watch me gnash my teeth wondering if we're going to get a seat.
That's exactly what I did. The whole time I'm sitting there and I'm my you know, my
leg grind these bones to powder just for you.
You make your leg bump up and down.
I do, yes.
Yeah, you do that. And my wife's like, relax. We're going to get in the movie. Relax. You'll be okay.
I'm
like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm just freaking out because I'm never usually.
Just trying to be cool like Carlos, just relaxing away.
Trying to be cool like Carlos.
Oh, yeah.
So I go.
Oh, cucumber Carlos.
We go to the Altamont, you know, the Altamont 18, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it is packed.
I mean,
We had to park.
People are loving that Ocean's 8, man.
I don't know if that's it. I think Incredibles, a lot of them were for Incredibles. This was
sold
a premiere.
Sold out again, Incredibles.
Incredibles sold out everywhere. So I had to park like four parking lots over. It's a long walk. I'm like, wow.
That's a bird eye.
So it's 7:15. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm right here at 7:15. This is when Carlos said he's going to be here. And I'm looking at my text.
He said, "Figure plaids are dope."
And the text said, "Did you get in?" And I'm like, "What?" And I walk up. I see Carlos and his entire family.
Yeah, it was a family reunion.
Seriously, how many people did you bring?
It was me, and I've never done this before. My nephew, who's obsessed with Jurassic Park, my daughter, who is loves Jurassic Park. My cousin Tony, my little buzzy. No. And then my dad and his mom.
And sister.
Yeah, those three, and then the rest of Peru.
And then Vince Taylor's there, right? And they're all sitting there. And Carlos is doing the cutoff sign, like, hey, we ain't getting in.
I'm like, 86 or whatever.
I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, this was in front of the line, which means you had to be there when the line was there. So I walked up to the lady, because normally they had me in as press, you know, and we go sit in the press room. I said, "Hey, how you doing? I'm Russ Rollins, you know, Real Radio. We gave away the stuff away and with the press." She goes, "Russ, they put you in front of the line pass. I'm so sorry." She was very, very nice. I'm not throwing her on the bus. This was my fault for not giving in to my craziness. I should have been there an hour early.
Right. Dude, I tell you right
now. I'm not even blaming him. I'm blaming me.
You might want to blame me.
And so the lady says, she's listen, you and Carlos are here, right? And she's like, yeah. She's like, "You guys can go in. We got two seats in press. You two can go in." And I walk out and I look at Carlos in the eye and I see like my wife standing there.
Half of Peru.
And I was like, "Oh, I'm like, we're going home. I can't. I'm not going to go in." And
so I said, hey,
my teeth are hurting.
I looked at my family. I said, "Meet me back here in 3 hours." Of course. Like I said, it's totally my fault. Never explained to me how it all kind of really works. It's just kind of...
willy-nilly?
Yeah, and I looked at my nephew and my daughter.
You had to tell them.
Not today, Poppy.
So
not
wait,
today,
you guys Poppy. Didn't get to see the movie?
No.
So you don't have a review for...
No, not for all of America.
Oh, that's a sick burn.
And you know what? I was about to flex my muscle. I was about to say, "Do you know who I am?" No, I wasn't. But like, I was like a little dog. I was like, "I am here to see Jurassic." No, that's actually cut off now. And I was like, okay.
They would have let us both in.
I understand that, sir. You and everybody from here to Jacksonville, if you'll look behind you in line.
Jimmy, it was
She goes, I've been here since like 3. One dude walked all the way from Birdines.
It was so packed that there was only two seats left. And like I say, he and I could have gone, but I was like, I wasn't going to leave everybody hanging.
I walked off and left y'all standing outside.
There was a really nice listener. When I was leaving, a really nice listener goes, "You're Russ from the Monsters." I'm like, yeah. She's like, "Me and my husband came, and they told us we couldn't come in. We drove all the way from Leesburg." I'm like, "I am so sorry." She's like, "We had to get a babysitter." And I'm like, "I am so sorry." She's like, "Where are you going?" I said, "They won't let me in either." And she's like, "Oh, my God. Well, then I'm not going to complain." Like, she was like, okay.
And if they're not going to let God in, they're definitely not going to let us in. We're from Leesburg.
That's what we were saying.
That's not what I meant. But this,
you should have just hovered above the crowd and seen it there.
All this does is just reaffirm my craziness for wanting to be super early, because I would have been there an hour early.
Here's the other, let me add a little layer crazy.
Yeah.
The other crazy part is that you think this isolated incident really sets the standards for the other 400 times that you could have been late and it would have been fine.
100%.
On normal time.
If I'd have been
This is the one thing you'll concentrate on to prove to yourself that you've been right the whole time.
But it's what will stick in my head for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll show them to me that if you were an hour early, you didn't really need to sit down and have wings. You could have had a quick lunch, a quick dinner, and gone to the movie. Then I would have been in.
Well, here's the deal, Russ. You don't blame me for this.
No.
Right?
No,
I want to tell you, I blame you for this.
What?
Because you were sitting there stirring it up in your brain, sitting there at AO House, changing the universe, putting out energy, and all of a sudden, things started moving in place because you were worrying and being a big baby.
Yep.
So screw you, Rollins.
Wait,
we could have gotten in if it wasn't for your brain, man.
What he said, dude.
What?
His whole family, too.
Exactly. Yeah, my whole family. I'm going to go, Señor Rollins, es un diablo.
How are the wings, by the way?
Not too many times that I'm going to go out on this limb, but man, that's a stretch.
Listen, listen.
I gotta tell my nephew something.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta tell him something.
That, you do, this whole weird thing about being on time. See, like, my wife is the same way.
It's not being on time though. That's misrepresented.
But I like to be early to things.
Way early,
just in case there is a snafu or a problem, I can fix that. So I can still do
snafu.
It.
Well, I like that word.
Can tomorrow night maybe me and you, Russ, and your wife in Peru go to see it at 4D?
I think that it'd be perfect,
that's
right?
The best.
No, well, the whole point was trying to see it ahead of everybody else. Yeah. Now you go,
so we give it a review.
Right, now you're going to go and see it as commoners.
I don't want to be a peasant. Else. I didn't want to be a peasant. And now I guess I'm going to have to do that, which I'm so pissed at you, Russ.
We'll go see it. But now,
I guess I'll have to see it without the jiggling seat.
Guess who did get to go see it, though? Because he came by himself.
Oh, Vince rolled in like Superfly.
Good for him.
Really?
Vince Taylor got to go.
Yeah, he rolled in looking like straight out of a club from the 70s, and then they just let his ass in like, huh?
Jimi Hendrix is here. Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, is it okay if I go in?
Daddy,
and I'm like...
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to respond to that. I'll just give you a grim look.
Is he coming in today?
No.
Then what good is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Why would anybody allow that to happen?
You know what? We can actually send him a text. I bet he'll come in later because Savannah's got to leave early, so he can come in a little bit later to give us a review if
he wants. Yeah, because I want to know about it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He's the worst reviewer because
he loves everything.
He's self-admitted, loves everything.
Yeah, no. And someone who loves everything does not give good reviews. I mean, you got to have a little bit of critique. We'll see if we can get him to come by. But, it just solidifies my whole craziness about wanting to be super early to things, because if I'd have been early, I could have fixed the problem. I could have called you. I could say, hey, look, you need to get here. I'm saving you a seat.
And be like, hey, man, I'm at the mall. I'm eating at Charlie's right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you actively looking for ways to justify your crazy?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Well, yes.
Yeah.
You don't need to.
Because
we thoroughly all enjoy it.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't fix it.
Yeah, we revel in it. So, I didn't think it was that big a deal.
Okay, you know what?
It's manageable.
I'll go back to forget about it. Okay, I like that. Hey,
that's
okay.
Crazy.
I want to find out, because Savannah, we talked yesterday, she has purposely not told me stuff about her trip to Mexico.
Oh, boy.
Because there must be some juicy stuff.
You got to tell some juicy stuff.
Yeah.
Some of it.
You do.
Is there some stuff that's worthy of telling?
Absolutely. I think you need to tell it in the right way. You're not going to tell it in a bashing way, and I think the audience should know.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to The Monsters of the Morning.
It's intriguing.
Thank you so much for listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Savannah here today. I want to say what's up to part of our Monster family. Listen to us all the time on iHeartRadio app. And Steve Beard, who listens to us in Melbourne, Florida. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate that. Appreciate everybody that listens. Thank you so much.
Sweet beard, bro.
Last week at this time, I think it was around this time, Savannah was getting ready for her trip to Mexico City, Mexico. Now, I know that you'd been to, like, Cancun and some of the tourist places in Mexico, but we were trying to tell you, hey, look, I believe, I don't know, I've never been, but what I've heard, going to Mexico City is much different than going to one of the resorts that they make all nice and fancy for the tourist.
Yes.
And you were like, well, you didn't care because you're tough. You're badass.
Yeah.
So
I'm a woman.
I'm a grown woman.
I can do what I want.
Yeah. Modern day woman.
Absolutely.
I'm not taking a nap. I don't need it.
Let me tell you this. Mm. Good thing I thought like that.
Really? So tell me, what happened?
Well, I will tell you. I want to be really diplomatic about this.
You're very concerned about saying something that's going to upset someone who's Mexican heritage, and you don't want to offend anyone because you love people.
And the people were amazing.
Gotcha.
The people were wonderful. I had so much fun. I had a great time.
Mexican people are awesome people, man.
Like,
just
they took me into their house. They fed me. Like, they were the most amazing people ever.
And for those that don't know, one of the little hiccups, one of the things that we were concerned about was you were going to Mexico City, Mexico, to stay with people that you had just met on social media and on Facebook. And we're like, man, you don't know what they're going to be like in real life.
Right.
And so be careful. And it turned out they were wonderful
people. They were wonderful. The wife is an English teacher at a school for kids with disabilities in Mexico City, mm-hmm. which is absolutely wonderful. The husband, his name is Andre. He was absolutely amazing. Has crocodiles he takes care of. Went and saw those. And I went to a big animal show.
And they speak English and Spanish?
The wife spoke English and Spanish. Nobody else did.
Oh, okay. So you only really communicate with her.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, you can communicate. Like, I can communicate enough. Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at understanding and just not that good at speaking.
Gotcha.
And, there was, okay, so starts out, I get on the plane.
Yeah.
I'm clearly the only person that looks like me on the plane, which is... You know.
You mean tall white girl.
Yeah.
No big deal, because I'm kind of the only person that looks like me in Florida,
period.
Too. So.
And you're representing Gatorland.
And I'm representing Gatorland, absolutely. And so I get on the plane, and I get off at immigration in Mexico City. I'm super excited.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the immigration line, right, which I think is going to be really a big, long line, because uh-huh. it always is when you go to other countries. But I am the only person with a United States passport that is coming in.
Yeah.
Right? So I can't even find the people, right?
People are avoiding Mexico City now.
They're kind of told not to go there.
U.S. Embassy, they're saying, don't go, yeah.
So I finally find where I go through, right? Because everyone else has a passport from Mexico, right? So they're in this big, huge line on one side. Right. And so I'm on the other side, and I can't find where to go because there's not a line for me to go in. And then finally, I talk to this lady, and I show her my passport, and she just kind of rolls her eyes and is like, go. And I was like, all right, whatever.
So they really didn't check you.
I got through the line quick. I could have brought my knife. So anyways, I get outside and, you know, if you're me, like I didn't have any concern about danger, right? So I call my friend. I'm like, hey, I'm here at the airport. And they're like, stay by your stuff. We'll be there soon. Don't talk to anybody. And I'm like, what?
So even they are, I know you thought we were being overly dramatic and everything, but even they are telling you, hey, stay by your stuff and don't talk
to
anybody.
We're stuck in traffic. Don't talk to anybody. You know, remain visible.
And they said stay in front of you, right?
Yeah. Well, no, that was kind of later. Okay. So they pick me up in the car and we're driving through the city and we're going to where they live, which is like a suburb of Mexico City called Alcon. And, so we get there to their house and we take all our stuff in, and then we're going to go eat. And so we leave. So where they live, it's beautiful where they live, but it is double gated, three keys to get inside,
oh, really?
And barbed wire around the whole entire park.
Now, when you say you're going to go eat, I'm imagining you're going to go to some little family restaurant.
No, it's a house, but in the daytime they bring out a big grill and they make tacos.
Okay, yeah. So it's not like a chain restaurant.
Yeah. No. So we go and we're getting tacos, and I'm walking and I'm not paying attention because you know how I am.
La 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 dee-lay. I love reptiles, you and me.
Right.
And so we're walking and they're like, Savannah, you walk in front of us. And I was like, I'm a grown ass woman. I'll walk where I
walk parallel.
And they're like, no. You walk in front of us the entire time. We have to keep our eyes on you. And I'm like, why? What's the big deal? And then.
Because in case we're in trouble, we're going to jump on your back and say, gah!
So I walk in front of them and I'm kind of not understanding. And, you know, now I'm deep into Mexico and nobody looks like me.
Now, are they staring at you? Or are they looking at
me? Oh, yeah.
Because you're 6 foot tall, blonde.
Oh, yeah.
Hard to miss.
I'm like the Jolly Green Giant in Mexico.
Right.
Especially in this little village where there's not a tourist trade going on ever.
Yeah.
So you don't see anybody that looks American.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there is nobody that's American that is going to there.
No. And it's different going to where they're expecting tourists and they're trying to sell you beads and stuff, and they're not trying to sell you anything.
So we're walking down the sidewalk and it's like the sidewalk is parting, right? as we're walking and everyone is staring.
Here
and
comes even Blonzilla,
the girl is like, what? Everyone won't stop staring at you.
La gringa grande. La gringa grande.
Right.
Es muy grande.
Right.
So it was kind of like that. But we went and ate. And then, you know, when I was asking about the walk in front of, the girl was telling me that they live where they live because they used to live in a little suburb that was closer to the city. Like she had friends that... she had friends that all of a sudden would be gone, like when she was growing up.
Wow.
So she moved away and they moved to where they lived. And again, it's very secure where I was in this, like, There's barbed wire around the whole entire housing complex. Damn.
So now seeing all this, Savannah, at this point, did you start to get a little nervous? Like, okay, the guys said all this stuff. Now I'm here. The people I'm staying with are telling me this, and I see barbed wire. Did you start to get nervous or scared?
Remember who I am, right?
I know. That's why I'm asking. Baddest bitch.
Exactly.
I'm the baddest bitch that ever was.
I don't go into fear mode. I go into, fight. I could take that guy out. I could take that guy out.
Fight
or flight. I could take that guy out.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm this big, I'm with these other people, like, we got this. Like, I'm calm,
I'm good.
Right?
I'm Wonder Woman.
I don't care if they have a gold AK.
right.
So, we spend the first night. Okay, so then we go back to feed the crocodiles, because there's 6 crocodiles. So we take out one of the crocodiles, and the guy gets bit. And bit bad. So I'm outside taking pictures of a crocodile that...
How often do people get bit in general that you see, like with crocodiles?
Not very often.
Yeah.
Not very often.
So, and he owns these. These are his.
And they're like his pets. So
and you were going to learn from him, or...
I'm going to learn from them and perhaps do some purchasing, but I don't want to talk too much about that yet.
None of my boss.
So I hear commotion inside. I'm outside taking pictures, like, in the neighborhood with the kids and, you know, because, you know, I love the kids, right?
Right.
So
I saw all your photos your photos look like you were having a great time.
Oh, yeah. I was having a great time, I did have a great time. But I hear some commotion in the house, and I kind of turn towards the door, and there's blood running out the door.
Oh, my God.
And so
God.
I run inside, and I'm like, oh, my God, what just happened? And a dude got bit. His fingers were ripped open, his hand was ripped open. So I'm like, oh my gosh, we have to go to the hospital. And he's like,
what's that?
No, say, no problem.
No, not that bien.
And
it's
I'm
good.
Like, no, dude, seriously, you need to go to the hospital. Like, this is really bad.
Where was the closest hospital in Mexico City, Mexico?
I have no idea, but I was all game to take him to the hospital.
Yeah. And they wouldn't go.
No, they wouldn't go. So he just wrapped his fingers up, taped them up, super glued them, and like, that was it.
Damn.
But leads into this. The next morning, the wife who spoke English, her name's Cynthia. Cynthia had to go to work before the animal show, but we had to catch up the crocodiles to take them to the animal show. So, as she's leaving at like 6 in the morning, she's like, "Hey, Savannah, you have to catch the crocodiles today because Andre can't because of his hand." And then she leaves, and
so
I'm like,
"Double Andre?
Whoa!"
When they say catch the crocodiles, I mean, when you say that they own them, I would think they'd be in a pen that would be easy to get. Where are they holding?
There's no crocodile that's easy to get.
No.
They just fight.
Not in the world.
Not in the world, okay. Because they are a lot more aggressive than alligators.
Absolutely. So we get up, we get dressed, and he's like, here you go. And he gives me what is about as thick as this. Probably, but made out of burlap.
A headphone cord.
And goes, okay, you get the big one. And I'm like,
big shot from the United States, so you get the big one.
Yeah, and I'm like, no. Do you have a bigger rope? Right? And he doesn't speak English. So I'm like, do you have a bigger rope? And he's like, no, it's okay. Just put your hand. And I'm like, no. Like,
yeah.
No, your hand is destroyed right now.
No, it's not bad.
No, it's not bad, right? And so I'm like, all right, let me, we're going to do this a different way, right? So I go outside. And
so
I
you didn't feel peer pressure, any kind of pressure to, oh, my God, I got to prove I can do this. You said, no, I'm going
to. I didn't have a choice but to do it.
Right.
That was the only way we could go. But I wasn't going to put my hand in the water and catch this crocodile. No way. That's crazy. Nobody would do that.
Yeah.
Except for them. So I go outside. I break off a piece of tree. I find another piece of rope. I take it inside. And good, I was just in Cuba because I knew how to make this fancy lasso that they taught me how to make there.
It's called the Cuban lasso.
Right.
And so I make this lasso. I hook it to a stick. And because he's just going to put his hand in there and put the rope around his mouth, like his other free hand
that's
not bit. And I'm like, no, we're going to do it like this. So
this guy hates his fingers.
Yeah, he must.
That's evident.
So I put it on the stick, I make it into a lasso, I catch up the crocodile, and as I have it, and it's going crazy, and it's the thinnest rope that could have just pulled through my hands, and he's just like, oh, sí, bueno.
You did it, yeah.
Yeah, like...
Are you growling back at the gator like you normally do?
Like, now he has a new tool.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, sure.
I introduced you to a new way to not get messed up.
A rope on a stick.
This is the whale.
Yeah. Yeah.
The rope on a stick.
So we catch him, we pull him out, he's going crazy, he's thrashing.
How big is this crocodile?
Probably 6, maybe 7 feet.
Oh, hell.
I was picturing a
and you're
small
in a
crocodile.
You're in a foreign country. They don't even know where the hospital is.
And there's one is in Dallas.
And the guy that owns their thing, he already got his hand bit.
Yeah.
You crazy, girl.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, I don't want to let Gatorland down. Like, I don't want to be embarrassed, but I'm definitely scared. Like, this is the part where I'm the scaredest, right? So we get him on the floor. And, you know, at Gatorland, we have a procedure and we have methods.
Protocol.
And this is how we do. But we don't have any of those tools there. Like, there's a there's a rope that you can use for the nose. But there's none of that available. So he's like, okay, jump. And I'm
jump.
Is he a big crisscross fan?
No, or
Van Halen for that matter.
Jump.
No, that means... Go ahead and jump on him so we can secure him.
Come on, Steve Irwin.
Why does he want you to jump on him?
Because his hand is hurt and he can't grab him.
You know, kind of. She's bigger. To be perfectly honest, I'm 5'2".
Be careful! Don't kill the crocodile.
Don't squash it. Just lay.
So they want you to jump on the crocodile.
Not squash.
Now, on the bright side, this is the biggest crocodile, right?
Yeah.
And you only got four more to catch after
this. Yeah, I picture this in like his side bathroom.
And so
that's what it was, really?
No, it wasn't a side bathroom, but
he certainly didn't expect you to point at him and say, "Don't ruin my story" after that comment.
But there was not a lot of room for mobility,
especially the bunk bed.
So close quarters with an animal whose only goal in life is to reproduce and kill.
Eat you.
So I'm like, oh man, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm looking at his hand. I'm like, oh dude, I don't want to do this. This is so scary. So I jump on the crocodile's back and I put my hands on its neck, you know, like you do an alligator. Only it's not an alligator. It's a crocodile and it's full of mean power, right?
So it's boom, 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 back and forth.
No. It stalled, right?
Uh-huh.
When I got there and then swung its head up backwards, almost hit me in the nose and busted my face open.
Oh, no.
So now
it'd have been two for two this month, huh?
Yeah.
We had a guy getting knocked out here in Central Florida by a gator doing that.
Right, exactly. And I didn't think about that specifically, but I was like, no way am I going to let this happen, right? So now I'm mad. So I finally catch up the crocodile, and then I have to cover its eyes. And when you cover their eyes, they calm down. So it calms down. Snatch it up. That one's done. Once I get the big one done, I have confidence now. Like, I do the other one super quick.
Vince Taylor,
and it's done.
Vince Taylor just texted and said, "This is exactly the premise for Jurassic World."
So when you did this, and you actually subdued the biggest of the crocodiles, pretty much by yourself, they had to look at you like you were like the crocodile god.
No, because they were just like, oh.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Now we go. So we go to the show, and we walk into this big convention hall. It's in the center of Mexico City. And as soon as I walk in, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, all the people that, like, follow my Instagram, at Savannah Bone, like, rush to the door. And I'm thinking they're rushing.
Savannah. They pick you up. They carry you around.
I'm thinking they're rushing for the crocodiles, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And they're like, we love you so much.
Do you have a Cliff Bar?
How many people do you think came to see you in New Mexico?
Or Mexico.
Every person that could have made it that weekend came to see me, like, in Mexico City.
50, 100?
Like a billion people.
Probably 200.
Isn't that amazing? That's awesome.
It was
That's
fantastic. Amazing.
Okay.
And all ages, from like 5-year-old little girls that were like, I need your Instagram.
That
like,
is so cool.
All the way up to like older people, all the way to like the people that are the big reptile dealers there, all the conservationists there.
All
like,
the hospital workers.
All the veterinarians.
You stand
there.
Out in the reptile world for sure. I mean, you're 6 foot tall, beautiful blonde. All right, let's do it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to find out what else happened when you got in to the convention itself.
Okay.
And I know some other crazy stuff happened in Mexico, so we'll talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Think of it as punching someone in the face, but with words.
Call now, 888-978-1041.
Real Radio, 104.1.
Radio. 104.1. The Daughters. I love this band. Welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Savannah back from Mexico City, Mexico.
Yes, she is.
I want to give a shout out to
don't be creepy.
Janet Graves, who listens to us in Concord, North Carolina, on the iHeartRadio app, and watches us on the iHeart Monsters Radio channel on YouTube. We appreciate that.
Home of my favorite grape jelly.
Concord, North Carolina. I think I've been through Concord, I believe. Anyway, so we were getting all caught up with Savannah. She went to Mexico City, Mexico. And this is not like, you know, those of you that have been on a trip to Mexico on a cruise, you know,
there's no Carlos and Charlie.
Yeah, no Carlos and Charlie. No. It's not like it's
I mean, there's a Carlos and a Charlie, but they both have AKs and machetes.
Yeah, it's just
and I just want to keep stressing, the people were amazing. The food was amazing.
Yeah.
And there was really, the only time I ever felt like, uh-oh, something's about to go down was like, when I was at the convention center, I was with everybody, and in there it was very safe. Like, there was security there.
A modern building?
It was a pretty modern building, and it was a big show. Like, there were tons and tons of people there.
And you get there, and because of your social media presence at Gatorland, people all over the world watch your Instagram, your YouTube, and they know what you're doing. You're the girl from Gatorland.
Which is crazy.
They watch around the world. So you get there, and a couple hundred people know exactly who you are, Savannah
it's
from Gatorland.
So crazy.
So that's very cool.
You're the Tekashi 6ix9ine of the Gator World.
I don't know what that means, but I probably took more pictures with people there than I probably ever have in my life anywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, with so many different people. I have no idea where the pictures are. Like, I told everybody to tag me, but I don't think they understood what I said. So I haven't seen very many of them, but like all over, like we just took tons and tons and tons and tons of pictures.
So, no, was this a, I'm trying to imagine what a, is it a convention center?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a convention center.
Like the convention center in Orlando, but not.
Okay, so it's not as nice as the one here in Orlando, but it's fairly nice?
Yeah, it's nice.
Okay.
And there's security outside, like you can't get in unless you have a badge, like, and, you know. But one time I went downstairs and I went by myself, which was a big mistake.
Uh-oh.
And I kind of went outside just to look around because, you know, it was hot in the convention center, no air conditioning.
No air conditioning.
No. No air conditioning anywhere that I went the whole time I was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Was the heat like it is here in Florida? Was it
actually, it was cold.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
It was really cold. Like, I wish I would have brought a jacket or a sweatshirt.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
In the daytime, it was super.
It's a different
elevation. I forget.
Mexico City sits up high.
Yeah, I totally forget.
Okay.
And so I went downstairs, and I was by myself, and someone walked up to me from, like, the street, not somebody from the expo, not somebody that was my friend, and they were like, "Aren't you scared, Weta?" And, like, got really close up in my face.
A man
and
or
I
a
was
woman?
Like, a man.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, "I ain't scared of nothing."
I'm an American badass, bitch. You heard a Kid Rock?
Like, I just jumped to, like, uh-oh. And then I had to yell, and I didn't say it in the way that I just said it because I used some profanity.
You scared him off.
He ran off a bit.
No, and as soon as I did, he was like, hueras muy loca, and then walked away.
Hueras muy loca is crazy white girl. Seems to be the phrase that was said to you a lot.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That phrase was more than any other phrase.
So did you figure, look, if I act crazy, they're going to leave me alone?
No, I just wanted him to know.
I am crazy.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. Yes.
I just wanted you to know, like, if you're about to jump, like, I'm a crazy girl and I'll jump right back at you. Like, I had no qualms about fighting right there in the street.
It'd be like jumping on a crocodile. Yeah. So the guy gets in your face, you kind of yell at him, he backs off. But at that point, you say, okay, I probably need to go back inside.
I went straight back upstairs.
Yeah.
As soon as he walked around the corner, because I waited because I didn't want him to think I was running because I needed to stand my ground in that moment.
Yeah.
As soon as he hit the corner, I was like, whoo, run,
gotta go. Were there places to eat all over, if you wanted
like
to
Chili's
get...
or
well, no,
Taco Bell?
It's
anything?
Not really like that.
No,
like
I mean,
the locals?
Like people make food, so there on every corner there's like a stand where you can get food, and it was really delicious food. And it's, you know what's funny
is
the food that I ate at the taco stand every night was called a hueta, and it was called a hueta because it was a taco and it had the white cheese on it.
Oh, that's so funny.
Queso fresco.
The
so
white girl.
We ate that every single night. We went to the same taco spot.
That's white girl, a hueta?
Yeah.
Yeah, hueta's a white girl.
Yeah, and no me digas hueta. Like, I'm quick to jump for anybody that calls me that, but in that moment, I was just like, yep, jeez.
Crazy white girl, yeah. So you were there, how many days were you in Mexico City, Mexico?
I got there Friday, and I left on Monday morning.
Were you...
And coming back, again... Only person with an American passport coming back through immigration. Only person, I mean, there were people there from Canada.
Well, the embassy literally has a security alert out for Mexico City. I was looking it up. I was like, I want to be sure we're saying this correct. Yeah, like, what's like a couple months back, it basically says,
don't go.
As noted in our Mexico travel advisory, citizens should exercise increased caution due to crime. Yeah. According to Government of Mexico statistics, the state experienced an increase in homicide rates. I mean, look, a bunch of stuff.
No, that, but when I was telling her on Friday to check in with the embassy, yeah. I was being legitimate.
We weren't kidding.
I thought you were kidding.
No, I was being 100% right. I mean, and here's the thing. It's like, you know, because of the state of relations between the two nations, you're a valuable commodity.
Yeah.
Right.
You
right.
are.
Thank you so much.
You were famous there. I mean, they probably saw, look at all these 200 people here to see her.
But you know what?
They don't even have to know who you are. Just,
those people were so awesome. Like, I know that if anyone would have tried to take me, they'd all jumped.
Hey,
up.
Jose, I think that's Britney Spears. But she looks a little bigger in real life. But
Savannah, if they're citizens,
that's bigger Spears.
If three guys with machine guns show up to take you, all those wonderful fans would not have helped.
I don't think so. I don't think they would have let it go down like that. Like, those people were amazing. And most of them had been following me on social media for years. So, like, for them, they were like, oh, we're so glad you're here.
Yeah.
We wish more Americans would come. Like, we want this show to be international. Like, we're, like, all the people that ran the show, all the vendors that were at the show. Like, it was, I felt completely safe and at home. And, like, that was my family. And they told me when I left, like, anytime you come back, this is your house.
That's awesome.
Even if we're not here, you can always come here and stay. You know, and we will take care of you. And just like it was just wonderful. That
I mean, there's Mexican citizens that hire. I mean, one of the highest industries in Mexico and in Mexico City is security detail.
Yeah.
Like, and that's for their own citizens that hire those security details. Just you know, I saw a burning a man on fire.
Right.
Oh, wow, exactly. Hey, man, just a quick little dive into the most violent places on earth. Out of the top 10, this country of Mexico has 5 of them.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
But Bogota, is that one of the others?
No, that's Colombia. Yeah,
yeah. I know, but I'm saying, is that one of the others?
No, Venezuela's in there.
Venezuela.
Brazil. Believe it or not, no Middle Eastern countries.
Oh,
all South American or Central American.
I'm going to Brazil soon, too.
Huh.
Nicaragua, anything?
So, Savannah, when you finally got back on the plane, though, to come back to the United States, were you really glad to land here?
I was, and let me tell you why.
Yeah.
That last night I was there, like, we had so much fun. We were all exhausted. We're about to go to bed. And 2 blocks over, I hear, and I know what that sound is like. And I haven't heard that sound since I was in the military.
Oh, you heard your machine guns.
And I go in the other room and I go, hey guys, what was that? And the wife's like, maybe fireworks?
It's
and I was like,
you know?
Maybe no. And they were like, ah, no.
So you just heard gunfire.
Then I hear somebody scream, and then I go to bed. And the next morning at 6 a.m., I'm like, all right, what time we got to be at the airport?
Yeah.
So was it difficult to sleep there? I mean, you didn't have an air conditioner or anything, and then you probably were a little worried about...
Well, she had a crocodile on the top of a bunk bed.
I mean,
she was at the bottom, so...
But, you know, you just do it. Like, it's way hotter in Cuba, so...
So, I know you were representative for Gatorland going there. Did you learn anything new? Was there...
Absolutely.
So, what was it that you came back with, knowledge-wise, about crocodiles in Mexico City?
She can, right now, if you were to fire 5 guns, she could point out the Chinese AK like that.
Yeah.
By the way, Caracas was number 2.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah.
So, I know how to sex a crocodile. Right?
What's that?
I know how to sex a crocodile.
Sex?
To find out if it's a male or female.
Figure out the sex, okay.
Like, there's a process to it. And before I left, I practiced a bunch at Gatorland, sexing crocodiles, and making sure that I knew how to do it, because there's some business going on, too, in all of this.
Yeah.
And to ensure what's male and female. And so I sexed the crocodiles at the house, and then we went to the show, and I met a bunch of people that are in veterinary school. Some of them are coming to the United States, like, great people. But they showed me this little tool that you can use to put in the cloaca of a crocodile or alligator, and the cloaca is their nay-nay.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm going to start calling it.
And it screws open, and you can see if it's a male or female, and you don't have to pop it. Like, so. Usually you pop it. So,
like, it's hot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Face down?
Yeah.
And how many people, are, like, I guess,
going forever.
Are there a lot of people that know how to do that? Is that something that is
There is, and I've done it a lot, and I thought I was right, but then when I met the vets there, and they did one that I had sexed as a female, and it was a male.
Oh.
And maybe it just had a small pee-pee, but it was a male. So now I can get to come back, and I get to buy that tool so that I can use it as well, and so that was something great I learned.
Hey, something off the beaten path, because the World Cup is going right now, and while you...
And listen, while
you were there, Mexico beat Germany. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Right.
What was it like?
Oh, my gosh. Well, in one of my pictures on my Instagram, you can see me and this little kid, and the little kid's holding the crocodile because he was really interested, but he would not put his soccer ball down for nothing.
Right.
His mom was like, put it down and take the picture. And he's like, no, mommy, no, mommy.
That's funny.
And so, like, it was everywhere, on every TV, on
that's
every
right.
radio, on every... It was like the whole world stopped.
Well, when
and
they
started
won.
Hollering.
It made news here when they won, Savannah. The people in Mexico were jumping up and down so much, there was a seismic shake, like an earthquake. Like, there was that
are you serious?
That was the news, yeah.
It's, where was that at?
No, it's true. Like, it affected,
Well,
we're experts at this.
Yeah. I can't think of the tool, but it picked up a small...
The seismic,
Richter scale.
The Richter scale,
Well, everybody was really excited about that, and, like, that was... There was definitely a lot of soccer.
Well, I'm glad you didn't get kidnapped.
Me too. And,
Great story.
I'm indifferent.
and Savannah got back from Mexico City, Mexico, without an incident. Almost.
But I just want to stress, the people were wonderful. They took such good care of me.
Love
and
I
love Mexico.
All right, very good. All right, listen, a chance to win some stuff is coming up. You're going to be able to win something. All you got to do is get on the line. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
We like girls from the East Coast because they're trouble.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And we like girls from the West Coast because they don't know any better.
I'm telling you, this is totally normal. Honest.
Real Radio 104.1.
From
Yo Radio
104.1. Hey, it's a Triple R segment at 7. Your chance to win some stuff is brought to you by WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Brad Siebert and his staff can help you get into a brand new house because they're licensed lenders. It's not like using a bank. It's like using a buddy of yours that'll help you get your house. And they let you know everything that's happening every step of the way. They're very, very great at what they do. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com, 407-636-9808 for WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Ask them about their free appraisal and free home warranty. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. If you got great credit, they'll get you a great interest rate. If you've got poor credit, like your credit score is 580 or less, they still can help you get into a home. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Call them at 407-636-9808 for WeAreNotTheBanks.com. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins. Always Dirty Jim, Carlos, Savannah, and Angel now is going to tell you what prize we have in the old prize pinata.
Hold on a second. We got an issue here real quick.
No, now. I need the piano now.
Hoopty.
Hoopty. I'm going to send Hoopty. Jeez. Throw back.
Oh, by the way, if you're looking for tickets to go with us on that cruise that we're going to do,
yes,
it's the Monsters and the Real Laugh guys on the Victory Casino Cruise. Just go to realradio.fm/victory. That's realradio.fm/victory to go on that cruise. It's going to be a great time. There'll be comedy on the way out. They'll be performing. I guess there's like a big performance center on the boat, and then we'll all gamble together, have a great time, and come back in. It's going to be fun.
All right, today's prize pinata, it's going to be abbreviated real quick, and if there's a certain prize everyone's looking for, it'll give me a second to make sure that we have that, but these are the prizes that I know that we do have right now. We have a 4-pack of tickets to the Mascot Games presented by Wawa on June the 23rd. That's this Saturday. You're going to be able to see Stuff, Nitro, Kingston, and over 20 fan favorites battle out through wacky games. Tickets are on sale right now, starting at $12. Now, here's the cool part. If you want to kick down for the VIP, because then you get to hang out with the guys, take pictures with them. They make great pictures. The kids love it.
It is fun.
Off, yeah. Kick off the mascot games with our iHeartRadio FanFest, and that starts at noon. For tickets, go to realradio.fm, keyword tickets. And all of this we're doing it for benefits New Hope for Kids.
It is, and we get to be judges.
I'm
not judges,
so
I'm sorry.
Excited.
Coaches, right. I get to be a coach. We judge everything, I forgot. I get to be a coach. Angel's a coach. Carlos and Savannah. Now, do you guys have your coaching wear? Do you know what you're going to wear to be a coach?
Yes. What are we going to wear?
Yeah. Because you'll be, here's what's going to happen, Savannah. This is your first year. You will be the coach of a particular team. Uh-huh. And it's either the, I know I'm the red team. I was told yesterday. There's the red team.
How do you know?
Because I asked Amanda.
Am I the alligator team? Am I the Florida Gators?
I do not know.
If I'm not, I'm going to raise hell.
I don't know.
It's a kids event.
It's a kids event.
Well, I won't, but I really want to be the alligator.
I know I'm the red team. There's the blue team, the green team, and the yellow team. So you'll find out what color you are. And here's what I decide every year that I've done this.
I know what color I am.
What color?
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. Well, every year... I've decided to try to look like a coach as much as possible, but I've never done this, and I'm going today, I don't know if this is a good idea.
I don't know if that's a good idea. You might be escorted from the premises.
I'm going to buy this today, and I don't know exactly where to go get this.
Academy.
What do you call those shorts?
Coach's shorts.
They're called nut huggers.
Yeah, Russ is showing
they're called
us.
Coach's shorts.
No,
I swear.
They're bike shorts though.
Are they?
Yeah, they are.
The brand is Bike. B-I-K-E.
Well, there's a number of people who make them.
Is it Riley? And Bike.
Rawlings, now you know you're not going to look like this dude in them, right?
I'm going to.
Because he's a model.
I'm going to get the socks, that come up to my knee. I'm going to get maybe a white shirt, and I'm going to get a whistle. So I look the coach's part.
Why do you need a whistle?
Every coach has a whistle.
I think you should definitely do it.
You think?
Hell yeah, man.
Play dress up for sure.
Where would you go to get that particular outfit?
Academy Sports.
It's really not that difficult.
It's not.
No, any one of the huge sporting outlets chains in Central Florida will have those tight ass shorts for you.
They still have.
If you tell me what size, I'll get you some.
No.
There's an Academy right down the street from where I live.
Savannah, get them smaller.
I will go today and I'll try them on.
Whatever. Why don't you just wear your Hooters uniform?
I don't. Stop it. All right, that's going to be this coming Saturday.
Stretchy.
We are going to be at the mascot game.
You have leggings
we'll
on.
We'll all be coaching and come say hi.
Are you going to wear like the shiny leggings?
Yeah. No.
Don't waste a day of leggings.
Coach Houston.
Okay, if we're dressing up, I'm going full on. Let's get physical. Olivia Newton-John. Leggings.
Yeah.
Leg warmers. Capizio.
Hell yeah.
Belt around the waist and a headband.
Olivia, I've got to go to the John.
So if you're the yellow team, you're going to do the yellow version of that. Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah.
But you got to look like a coach.
I don't know what a coach looks like. I don't sports.
I think that's a coach right there. I mean, that's exactly the typical.
I'm not going to try to look like that.
Okay.
That guy looks like a douche.
Well, I think I can pull the douche off.
Yep. I think you can too.
Thank you, Savannah. What else do we have today, Angel?
Hold on, I'm handling something.
Oh, okay. What are you going to wear? Okay, so let's say you're the blue team, yep. Carlos. What are you going to wear?
Well, I have a blue Fat Farm outfit from 98.
That's nice.
It's sitting there.
Ooh,
and,
Fat Farm.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe I'm a rock and jock kind of coach.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, you see how you are? I'm going to be a Space Jam kind of coach.
Hey, we'll go for it.
There's different kinds of coaches, you know? I'm going for the high school coach. It's red and white, which is like Edgewater.
You're going for fondle you under the bleachers coach.
No.
Right. Yeah.
That's what, that looks like one of my coaches from Edgewater High School, so I can pull that off, I think.
Yeah. Right. You're meeting me after class, coach.
We got a $50 Pyro Spot Fireworks gift certificate. Pyro Spot Fireworks is your local source for the best fireworks. Be a backyard hero with the Florida's largest selection of buy one, get two free fireworks. Now Pyro Spot has two locations. The one that we're accustomed to right here in Longwood, 434 1792, and they're now located in Eustis. Now, if you want to get an idea or a visual of some of the fireworks and what they do,
go to the
website, iwantfireworks.com, for more information. They got little videos, demo videos of some of the explosions happening, and it gives you a good idea idea before you get down there, before you purchase.
They do a great job, and you can actually see exactly what it's going to look like when it blows up, because they have it on a little video, which is cool.
And another cool thing is, if you go in with kids, he will give you exactly what you need so that everybody at every age group gets something they can enjoy, and it's not just dads hammering beers and firing off cakes and mortars.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll give you a lot of cool advice about what works.
We're a few weeks out from 4th of July, believe it or not. Yeah.
That's crazy. And then, yes, got confirmation. Hey, pair of tickets to Monsters Midway Suite and Coke Zero Sugar 400, and that's going down Saturday, July the 7th at Daytona International Speedway. Tickets for Monster Midway Suite are $185. Call 1-800-PIT-SHOP or visit DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com to buy them today. Now, you got to make sure you tell them, because this is how you get the deal, that you want the Monsters Midway Suite party. And you're sitting there going, what's that include?
Right.
Well, it includes the Monsters Happy Hour party, pre-race and the ONOH Fan Zone wristband, food and Coca-Cola beverages, happy hour drink specials, special Monster parking at Daytona International Speedway. That's pretty cool.
Now, that's a big deal.
Yes, you know,
I had someone else yesterday said, Rush, don't give me no BS. I'm coming all the way from Kentucky. Is it worth buying the ticket? Yes, for the air conditioning, to hang out in the AC, the suite, the bathroom, and the parking. Just for those things, you get your money's worth. But you also get great seats, and we have a concourse party where Angel will be spinning tunes. We'll all be there hanging out. It is definitely worth it. I got to thank our great friends at the Daytona International Speedway. They
absolutely
always treat the Monster fans so well.
They really do.
And what's cool about this is that not only do you get the concourse party, but you also get a seat in the stadium, and they got reserve seating, and we're going to be, our area is going to be pit out turn one area, so you get a good view of the track and a good seat for the race.
And this is such a great prize, such a big prize. People are asking for it so much that at the Daily 5 every day here on Real Radio 104.1, if you go to our website at monsters.fm, and if your name is one of the names on the Daily 5, you can win a pair of these tickets, because this is one of these hot prizes that everybody wants, and I know that everyone's going to want to win them right now. So that's very cool.
And those are the prizes in today's prize
pajama. All right, so those great prizes are up for grabs. All you got to do is get the trivia question right. We'll take a little break, come back, we'll tell you what it is. Good luck. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Shout out to Honora Horton, who listens to us in Port Orange, Florida, on the iHeartRadio app every day. We appreciate that. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the Monster family and checking in with us. Trying to give shout-outs as much as possible. You can always email me, russ@wtks.com. Welcome back to the Monster of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. And we'll get the trivia question. Of course, you heard all the prizes, one of them being the tickets to the
Daytona International Speedway,
the big race, which is going to be on July the 7th. So let me get to, hold on over here. All right, let's go to online one. Is Paul. Paul, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Russ?
I am great. I bet you'd love to win those tickets to the race, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
All right, good luck here. If you get it right, you can take whatever prize you want. If you don't get them, then you can get one of the Monsters to help you out and get it right for you, like Dirty Jim or Angel or Carlos or Savannah, okay?
All right.
Name the lead singer of this rock band that turned down a role on the Game of Thrones because he said he didn't want to be typecast. Who do you think it is? What lead singer do you say you think he turned down the role because he said, I don't want to be typecast?
David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth. Not a bad guess. It's not David Lee Roth. Who do you want to help you? You've got Angel, Carlos, Savannah, or Dirty Jim.
I'm going to go with Angel, the music man.
David All right, Angel, you know what? I like this guy, and so I'm going to give you a further hint. This is a very, very rare first-round hint.
No, Carlos gets these all the time.
Okay. Yeah. It's very rare for me. It's very rare for me to give you a
first-round
hint. Exactly. Like that, okay? Okay, so there you go. But I like this guy. I'd love to see him win. Name the lead singer of this classic rock band. I threw the word classic in there because it would fit. That turned down a role in Game of Thrones because he said he didn't want to be typecast.
Sting.
Sting is not correct. I'm sorry.
That's
Sting.
A good guess.
Stan from Harmony, Florida. You're on Real Radio 104.1.
Good morning, Monsters, and welcome back, Savannah.
Hey, thanks. Missed you, too.
So, Stan, name the lead singer of this classic rock band that turned down a role in Game of Thrones because he said he didn't want to be typecast.
Well, I happen to already know this one, so it is Robert Plant.
It is Robert Plant. Congratulations, sir. You saw
good
it in the news,
job.
Right? Did you see it in the news?
No, I heard about it. I forgot where I heard it, but I did hear about it.
Yeah, that's right. Let me put you on hold, so you are a winner. What prize are you going to take with you?
I'm going to take my son to see the NASCAR
race. Oh, yeah, dude. You'll be the monster suite party. It's a lot of fun. And what's great about the tickets is you get the great bathroom, you get the air conditioning, and we'll have that suite party. So, good, man. Let me put you on hold. Yeah, it's Robert Plant. Now, Robert Plant said, Led Zeppelin has been, he says, equated with that type of
music and scene.
That scene for such a long time.
Their movie, the song remains the same. There's a certain... I forget which one of the members has a very old the castle and and horses, the whole nine yards. I mean, that's part of that. I think it's John Bonham, but no, it would have been Jimmy Page's, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah. He said that they've been roped into the Viking thing for such a long time now.
Didn't they they were kind of both him and Jimmy Page were kind of bummed out that the band got. I guess connected or through the music with the occult and stuff like that and dark magics and all that.
A lot of that stuff happened. Jimmy Page used to wear that was Ritchie Blackmore did it too, but Jimmy Page had this weird kind of semi-witch thing going for a while and, they were called the Hammer of the Gods and,
Yeah, he said he's got to answer for it now because, they're equated with, he says something about people think that we all carry double-bladed axes all the time. I wish we looked more like the band Soft Cell, which I don't remember.
No, Soft Cell rock, man.
Oh, that's funny.
They did not rock. No? They were a good band.
They had the weird haircuts, right? Am I thinking the right
band? Well, that's Flock of Seagulls. Oh, okay. But, look, it's all the same back then.
Yeah.
But it's kind of weird, you listen to, the Immigrant Song and some of the other songs, Up to the Land of the Ice and Snow, they paint imagery that kind of does fit with that particular time frame. So I could see that, but here's the thing.
He actually mentions that song exactly.
Yeah, dude's 80. So, what are you worrying about? You're done. What are you?
Are you dying?
Yeah, no, not quite.
Okay.
They show a picture of him, and he did a full interview with someone about this whole thing because he was asked to be just a cameo in Game of Thrones. It wasn't a tight cast,
and so they went to the second best, which was Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, it would have been a little weird though.
He said he did not have time to. One thing they wanted him to do was to grow a beard, and he said he didn't have time to grow a beard.
Yeah, he's a little saucy. He's been one of those. He's been not the holdout, but he's been one of those guys who's really hyper conscious about the image of the band through time, not just when they were relevant, Because some would say, much like the Beatles and Beach Boys and other music like that, it'll be perpetually relevant simply because of the songwriting and what an impact it's had on so many bands that are around now.
Yeah, are you surprised they haven't done a get back together?
I'm not at all. I think once you hear Robert Plant talk about that, they did that one at Wembley, I believe.
Yeah.
And he's done some other stuff, but he has his own projects. And I think he just kind of wanted to step away from that. He did it with the Honey Drippers and really kind of made semi-pop music for a while, which was kind of soft and ethereal, definitely nothing like Zeppelin.
How much do you think, guys, in this regard, that the fact that he can't sing those songs?
Yeah, he cannot.
Like, he can't sing, he can't hit the notes that he hit during...
Older, his voice has changed.
Yeah, and that's kind of contributed to why he's evolved and he's kind of become a folk singer.
Yeah, sure. He cannot even come close to it.
Did he do a country album or something at one point?
I don't think Robert Plant did.
No, he did. It was called Backroads and Booties or something like that.
I think it may have been.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But, I wonder why they asked him. Well, they probably asked him because he is equated with that kind of, the kind of look anyway.
He looks like somebody that could be in Game of Thrones easily, shouting out a line, this ain't cruel.
Yeah. I saw the other day where they wrapped up the...
And off with his head, I say.
Charles Dickens.
They wrapped up filming of Game of Thrones not too long ago, so now they're just doing all the editing and getting it back.
All right, we only have to wait 3 more years.
Yeah.
Is that how long it's going to be?
It's always like they take their sweet ass time producing these shows.
It's funny that we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I think it's the way that we're consuming these kind of television programs nowadays that it affects shows that are a little bit different than the cookie cutter. I think the reason you guys aren't digging
Westworld,
yeah,
it's because you have to pay attention, and you can't digest it the same way that we've digested some of these other series on Netflix, where we crush them in a weekend.
My wife and I were just having this conversation. I fully believe because Handmaid's Tale never really kowtowed to that. They release one every Wednesday, right? When I say release, it's like network television used to be. You waited till Wednesday, you saw your show, and that's how it is now. Actually, I think a lot of shows are going to go back to that. I'm not 100% sure that the ability to watch an entire series in a weekend is really advantageous to the show. I don't think it keeps that product top of mind. It does create the want for it, but we were sitting and thinking, like, Ozark's coming back out.
Ooh, yeah.
There's a true crime. We're waiting for another season of that. We're waiting for another season. You know, and next thing you know, like, all your shows you're waiting, and it gives you an opportunity to go and look for other stuff that you might not come back from. Well, so I believe that a lot of people are going to go back to that whole making you wait a week.
It creates this vacuum where, you know, we've crush these great series and we'll knock them out in a weekend and we'll come and talk about it, and then it creates this vacuum. I know I would tease you because you're like, you're always looking for the next thing.
I am, yeah.
We're kind of doing that. Everybody is, and we're consuming this stuff at such a rapid pace, and we're creating these we're creating these huge vacuums that really cool pieces of work or cool shows that don't fit this thing where, I need to be able to figure this out in a matter of a weekend or 4 or 5 days.
And how often do you get stuck watching something that's absolutely horrible? Because last night we couldn't get into Jurassic World because of what happened. And you know, showed up too late or whatever. Showed up too. I showed up too late.
You were late.
I'm trying to find something.
Say it. You were late.
Trying to find something on TV, and I end up with they pass it off as a documentary, right? But it's clearly, you know, fake.
The Megalodon?
No, it's like Hell House. Something about Hell House that is supposed to be like a real story about Hell House.
Come on, man.
And they show
this Netflix or was this?
It's Netflix.
All right.
Was the title not enough to tell you not to click on it?
Right. I'm sorry. It was Amazon. It's Amazon. And this guy, his name is Prozac. Like, that's his name, Prozac. And
what up, my dogs? I'm Prozac. Getting your antidepressant on.
And he goes to these places that are supposed to be haunted. And one was like, I don't know. I forget. One was in Detroit, and it was some, old like train station, and he's like, this is Prozac, and I'm gonna go in, and I mean, and he goes in this old, and he's like looking around for things to scare you, and then they'll show a little bit of a video, and they'll show like, I don't know, like some little glass flying off the shelf or some stupid thing like that.
Did you hear that, dude?
And they don't tell you that this is supposed to be a ghost. It's just like they put it in there,
right?
So for people that aren't thinking, they're like, oh look, there's proof there's a ghost,
right?
But really, he just put this in the middle of
there's a whole genre of that,
yeah,
like, of you know, investigating ghost reporting, and they go in and people love it because they want to believe, and who knows?
And who knows?
My friend who has this gigantic YouTube channel called Oh My Gosh TV, all they do is explore paranormal.
Oh, really?
And it's amazing, and people are live and die by it.
All right, you're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
I think I see my friends coming right a minute in my heart.
Orlando City returns home to play host to Montreal Impact this Saturday. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9 The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio. And we'll feature a team press conference where Orlando City will address the head coaching transition.
Real Radio. Real Radio. 104.1.
Can't you move my way? I'm getting crazy. Oh, mama, is listening to us right now in Madisonville, Kentucky on the iHeartRadio app. Appreciate that.
Hey, dude, you were right. I don't know if it's a country album, but she did a folk album. He did a folk album with Alison Krauss. I totally forgot about that project.
Yeah, Robert Plant and Alison
Krauss.
But it's more of a bluegrass folk type thing than it is country, because they say that both of those guys got away from it. From their norms to make the album. But I never really saw Alison Krauss as a country act. I always kind of had her as a bluegrass act.
Oh, I always thought she was very country. But yeah, I guess it's kind of the same neighborhood, you know?
I completely forgot about that project. So, I went during the break, and it's good. You guys should check that out. And by the way, his stuff or their stuff, Jimmy Page's stuff with the Black Crowes, is also a must-listen, in my opinion. I think Angel agrees with that, too.
I always liked Robert Plant. I mean,
it's a cool tour. The sessions are insane.
And then people are asking me about, what is it you were watching last night about The Haunting? It's this called The Haunting on Dice Road, The Hell House, and it's this guy who calls himself Prozac. And
actually, Prozac's a really, for lack of a better way to say this, dope rapper from Detroit.
Oh, this guy's from Detroit, but he's white. He's a white guy.
He's a rapper.
Still a rapper? Okay, all right, didn't know. Okay, sorry.
No, Angel, you're wrong.
I didn't know. And then also,
G-Eazy, Eminem, also white.
Yeah, Eminem doesn't have the market cornered on white rappers from Detroit.
I didn't know. He also did another one called A Haunting on Potter Street, so he's got a bunch of these. So he's a rapper, and he also does all these haunting videos.
And he's white.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, he hit the trifecta.
My God. Well, the one he played off pretty well, I'll be honest with you. But then when he gets into Potter Street, the one, he's like talking to the ghost, and it's kind of, hey, you know what else I watched yesterday, Angel, was it's a guy from Wu-Tang
No. Hold on. You know what? You're right. It's Wu-Tang.
The Wu-Tang band.
And the Wu-Tang fan.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang clan.
I think you just ordered a number two.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. We're getting food.
And it was interesting. It was this show about the things that are coming up as far as technology and everything.
Yeah.
And
was it by RZA?
Pretty interesting. I forget who. Was it RZA? Is that his name?
Yeah.
RZA.
I think so.
RZA Sharp. It's either him or Genius, the Jizzle.
Yeah. So,
that's on Amazon as well?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Have you guys seen the one? My favorite one on Netflix to watch right now is a guy named Robert Campbell, and it's a PBS special that was a long time ago. And there's this guy, and he studies myths, like hero theory and like heroes' journeys and what makes a hero in mythology and what makes a hero. So anyways, he was actually a teacher of... who's the Lucas guy that did George Lucas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he was a teacher. He was his school teacher, and he taught him all these things about a hero's journey. And then so he talks about all kinds of mythology, but he also goes back through Star Wars and how it is the whole entire thing and how what he taught him in school. And they do it all at the ranch, at the Star Wars ranch, wherever that is.
What's it called?
Robert Campbell.
No, I know. Yeah. There's a name for that ranch. I forget the name of it. Star Wars people know. Like that ranch.
Lucas Ranch?
Skywalker Ranch. That's it. And they do it there, and it was a PBS special, but it was so great they pulled it to Netflix, and it's amazing. It's really old, so it's kind of hard to watch.
So, like, they show about, certain, myths and stuff? And
myths and where myths come from and how, Yeah, origins of myths and how there used to be a wild, wild world and people would create stories and the reasons they did and like the first storytellers and how they would write on the cave walls. It's amazing.
One of the things I watched was not about myths, but it was about urban legends and why there if there's any reality to certain urban legends.
Uh-huh.
And they did four different urban legends. One of them was about killer clowns that are killers or whatever. And they go into the reality of
John Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne Gacy. And they said one of the things that tipped them off to him, this is kind of creepy and crazy, is when they showed him in his clown makeup, his particular clown makeup had pointed edges. Like, it wasn't rounded off like most clowns, when they go around their eyes and stuff, it's all round because it's, and I guess it's known in the clown community to not have pointed edges because that'll scare kids. And when they show it, you see the pointed edges in the mouth and in the eyes and stuff. And they're like, they knew he wasn't a real clown. It showed that he didn't know what he was doing. And that was one of the things that tipped him off to John Wayne Gacy. And they go through his house and showed like all the places he had these bodies buried. And it was absolutely disgusting. Yes, Angel.
So on the series that you're watching, The Haunting, as far as social media, internet, it's pretty, I guess it's pretty popular, and it started back in 2011, and it's done one a year every year since then. So the most recent one was A Haunting on Dice Road, and that was from November of 2017.
That one's pretty good, actually. Yeah.
You knocked out the whole series?
No. I knocked out the one where it was The Haunting on Potter Street.
That was from 2012, so maybe the production wasn't caught up, and it kind of might have come off.
He called himself Prozac back then. In this latest one, he doesn't call himself Prozac. He calls himself his real name, I guess. And
Steve?
And they show stuff that looks like okay, if that is real, that could be a ghost. But, I mean, obviously it's not real, because if it was real, it would have made news. It would have been a big, this current one, the Haunting on Hell House or whatever, they show a lot of video where they allegedly, and they'll slow it down, and they put a circle around it, and they're like, here is the entity right here. And I was like, okay, they obviously had to put that in, because there's no way that's real, but it was
kind of scary. This guy's affiliated with those kind of rap acts that kind of push the envelope in that way. So he's down with Tech N9ne, Twizkid, and his real name is Stephen T. Shippey.
That's him. Yeah. And but he calls himself Prozac.
Prozac.
And that's funny. I had
he's
no idea.
Saginaw, Michigan.
I had no idea he was a rapper.
He's a dope rapper.
He just seems like he's really into
out Eminem.
Scary people and scary things.
Right.
Hey, so we just went past Father's Day, and there's a study done at Brigham Young University and Ball State University. They both did this in conjunction together. What do you think they figured out was made for not a good dad? What do you think one of the traits they found out was a trait that is considered, in the long run, not a good dad?
Is it alcoholism, Russ?
Alcoholism is a great guess. Probably could be part of it, but no, that's not the conclusion.
I was looking for the obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it whippings?
One that gives whippings.
Yeah. Spanking.
Spanking.
Physical.
Could be with the answer they came up with. Could be.
Oh, see, I'm good.
What about like corporate working?
Corporate working
dad. Yeah, alpha dad. Alpha dad.
Alpha dad is close to the answer. You want to take a stab at it, Angel? Because he's real close.
Pissed off alpha dad?
No, it says
overprotective dad.
It says masculine men, masculine dads who are real masculine turn out to be the worst fathers.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah, it says that those fathers
color male guilty.
It says here. they have the traditional attitudes about masculinity. It says usually it's a negative, misogynistic towards women. And most of them are not very emotional. They don't connect emotionally.
Right.
They're you know just go ahead and rub dirt on it, and you know they don't like
not compassionate, console you
and
nurturing.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah, so those are the worst kind of dads. They end up not being nurturing at all, and they spend a lot more time at work and doing other things and spending time with their children. The best kind of father is the one that is a little more less masculine and spends time and they got a picture of a guy here, and he's a dad, and he's got like the baby carrier on his chest. You know, yeah.
That makes me want to throw up.
Yeah, what's that called? That has a name to it.
It's called being a girl.
But I mean, like, I know my dad was super, super masculine, Marine Corps, all that kind of, that's kind of
no effect.
Kind of dad. What about your dad? Your dad wasn't a particular feminine dad.
Feminine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like anti. I mean, my dad's the same kind of guy. Yeah, my dad ran coal mines and drove trucks. That's what he was.
Loretta.
drank whiskey out of the bottle bedside table, like our TV table, open bottle of whiskey. Jeez. I mean, so he was that guy. My dad was not a hugger.
Yeah,
They
say masculine dads are not the best dads, but I mean, I know that's kind of what I grew up with. You grew up with.
But to be quite honest with you, and I'm sorry for interrupting. It the effect it had on me was completely positive because it made me not be that dad.
It made you a great person.
I don't know about being a great person, but it made me not. it made me not be that dad. I mean, so I learned by learning what not to. I think your dad was kind of the same way, right?
Oh, like, yeah, my
grease
dad.
Monkey. Like,
my dad taught me to be a badass. Like his masculinity taught me to be a badass. However, my brother slipped through the cracks on that, I have no idea.
So he was race cars.
Let me ask you a question. This is interesting. Do you think that's cost you, and I'm not saying this is a slam. I promise you. No, I'm not. Oh, right?
It's a slam's coming. Look
I promise you it's not. Do you think this has cost you the ability to, but I don't even know if you want one, to find like a long-time relationship?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because nobody's as badass as my daddy or me. I mean, it's real simple. If I could find somebody in the world,
it's just you intimidate people. You think?
Yeah,
or men.
Like, because I don't have time for nonsense.
And
right?
You can't have no man with a baby on his front.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Oh.
And I don't think I'm gonna find him because I can't get a hold of Stone Cold. And Andrew Jackson is dead.
And Andrew Jackson is dead.
Carlos took his hat off when he said Andrew Jackson's dead.
When I read this story, I was trying to think of anyone I knew that had a dad that was not a masculine man, that was more of a feminine kind of a dad. They're saying that is the best. I don't know anybody. I mean, I'm Angel. I met your father. He's more of a masculine dude.
If you follow like my upbringing, my dad is the way that he is because my grandfather was a son of a bitch.
Right.
Like my grandfather was, I mean, again, World War II, Korea, 65th Infantry from Puerto Rico, that Puerto Rican unit that went out and served the United States of America. He had zero chill was a thing. He's the epitome of that. And he was so just a hardcore. Like one of the worst fights I ever saw my dad get into was with his dad.
Yeah.
And it was over me. Over something I didn't do as a 10-year-old.
He will be in Menudo one day.
You know, and it was basically because, you know, my granddad was, this 10-year-old kid, he's supposed to help you in this. He can't even do this. And my dad felt so compelled. And they got into it at, right there in front of me. I was like, oh, my God,
Yeah.
So my dad really made it a point to try to not be that man.
So let me say this. Okay, so with all that being said, and every one of us has said our dads were very, very masculine, every one of us...
We are the epitome of sanity. Yeah,
I wouldn't say my dad's like super masculine. No, working wrenches.
No, but your dad's not like they're saying either.
Like a feminine type.
Oh, hell no. No,
Your dad won't even give an extra word to a sentence to make it nicer.
Right. You're right.
Kind of no.
Yeah, and he loves the headbutt.
It's funny. When I see your dad, I think of a masculine man, great. Though. I don't look at him.
Yeah, me too.
No doubt. But I was kind of connecting with, like, the gears, working on motors and Army, which he was never that guy, but he's definitely not a feminine dude or, and you know, if you are a feminine kind of guy, whatever.
Okay,
but.
So when you were a kid, if there was another kid picking on you, would your dad say, go tell the teacher or punch him in the face?
Or make a frittata.
Yeah, no, I mean, one of the seminal moments of my life was the first time I stood up for myself and I was getting beat up and he's like, you go over there. You punch him in the face.
Yeah, so your dad's a master. Yeah, yeah. So my
your dad sounds like everybody from Sicario.
My observation is, though, this, that all of us, I think, had masculine dads, but all of us are about three notches down from being as masculine as our fathers.
Not me.
Not me. I'm more. Okay,
other than Savannah.
Right. Who's the girl? Who's a boss bitch?
I think the four guys on the show are a little more, let's say, sensitive than our fathers were.
Way. Oh, yeah,
there's
yeah.
no question I am more sensitive than my old man.
I know Angel is. Well, I think we're all the same.
I think we're all the same sensitivity because we're born from them. We're in the blood, but we just show it. I really do. I think there is not a different level.
Do you think it's this generation, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this generation is a little more, and I hate using the word feminine, but not as masculine as our dads were.
Macho is the word, really. Kind of macho is a machismo, because you can be a man without having that, you know, chest pumped up the whole nine yards. Like, my father-in-law is a guy you never want to fight, even with a hammer. I mean, you just don't want to. But he'll also hug you,
right.
And he'll also tell you he loves you, and he'll also cry when you buy him a puppy.
Yeah.
But he'll also literally beat your bones into powder, and he can rebuild a motor on the side of a road with a twizzle stick.
But isn't he younger than your dad? He's younger.
He is way younger.
Yeah,
than my father.
So I think he's more in our generation.
But he also grew up with that dad. A guy was always away, never showed emotion, and it turned him into somebody who went that other way. Kind of like the same thing with me a little bit.
Because, like, I don't think any of our fathers would dress up for Halloween.
My dad would. My dad also had restaurants and parties and would throw events. So he had the, like, you know, he was a chef over there and a cook and stuff. So. It was and honestly, like, it's just a little different. But no, I think our lives are easier. I think ultimately our lives are easier,
yes.
Which in turn makes you be a little bit different
and gives you extra time to complain about stuff that's nonsense.
Yeah, and there's information.
And I don't mean you yourself.
No.
I mean people in general.
Yeah, there's information out there now that shows you how to be a better parent than it was not there back then. It was like, look, go to work. Come home. If the kids say something, tell them to shut the hell up.
Right.
That's mom's job.
You know, that's mom's job. She's going to be here doing that. And we found, okay, no, there's got to be more of a balance in that world. And in turn, you have to kind of be tenderized a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like tenderized.
You like a tenderoni.
This study, I do. This study, once again, it was by psychologists from Brigham Young University and Ball State University, found that masculine men don't make the best dads. They were the ones that got the worst scores when it comes to fathers.
Where's this study from?
I just told you for the third
Brigham
time.
Brigham Young. Isn't this an overarching kind of theme, though, to, like, destroy the masculine men and to begin to make them more
metro?
Like, I think you could be a masculine ass dude, rough, tough, hunt, spit tobacco,
and still be loving and caring.
Still be loving and caring. This is you know, just a story once again that is done to kind of put everybody in
With what you're saying, you're right. Because my dad was, you know, a former Marine, and he badass and all that. But he would tell me he loved me every day.
Me too, my dad too.
And every day he would say, you can do anything you put your mind to, Russ. So you know, he did have, but he was more, I would definitely say, more masculine than I am, because he works on cars and you know, just
Batman's for pussies, boy.
Right. He would never read a comic book. He doesn't even like anything that's an
action figure.
Yeah.
that's a doll, boy.
I don't know, man. I think that the South is full of men like that. Full of men who can take their kids hunting and fishing, but in the same sense, hug them and tell them they love them. I mean, you look at my Facebook feed, and a lot of the guys I grew up with turned into those dads.
Yeah.
And I knew their dads.
Right.
And their dads were hard ass M blinkers, you know, but they were still compassionate people because the nature of family in the South, I mean, just only because of what I know, that's how they grew up.
And
I mean, mill working, coal mining, truck driving, lumberjacking, mechanicking people, welding, and they all turned out to be pretty darn good dads.
I agree with Dirty Jim, but I don't think it's just in the South. I think it's all over the world.
Yeah, just what I know.
Just,
you know?
I just think that, like, that's not the propaganda that's being pushed right now. like being masculine.
Yeah, no, that's there's no way that's right the case, now. Right? Yeah.
It says here for some
reason that
being masculine does not equate to being a caregiver. You know, you think to be masculine, you can't be a caregiver and be all sweet and kind. Yeah. So you leave that up to mom to do, and then the masculine man doesn't have time for that. But I don't know if that's always the case.
My grandma slapped me in the face so hard in the front of church one time for just touching her hair. She slapped me so hard in the face in front of church.
She had just got
it almost knocked me down.
She just got it doozied up, and you had to touch it, huh?
Yeah, I wanted to see what was holding it up. Now I know it's Aquanet.
You know how hard it is if you touch whipped cream to make it look the same? Same as my hair.
A lot of people on the Texas server saying that's why kids are so screwed up today. We're not enough masculine men.
Oh, please. That's from somebody who has kids these days. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody bitches about that. Like, you're the ones who raise the kids. So every generation has those, man. Like, you got some losers, you got some winners. And now we can just see it a little bit more because they're posting it.
Because it's everywhere. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe we don't need to see all that, man. Maybe we don't need to see it.
But you're the queen of social media. How can you say such a thing?
But I'm the queen of it, but I don't really look at other people's stuff because it's nonsense. And it just
Look at me. I don't look at you.
Absolutely.
All right. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
The 10th caller and you didn't win the prize you wanted from your favorite radio station.
Boo friggin' who.
There's still a way for you to win. Realradio.fm keyword contest. Somebody's gotta win. Might as well be you.
From Radio, 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 104.1.
It's 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I want to give a shout-out to Joey Duvall, who listens to us in Milledgeville, Georgia, on the iHeartRadio app. Thank you so much for listening to us. We appreciate it. Also watches us on our YouTube channel, iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. That's three words. We appreciate it. I'm Russ Rollins on the Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. And now it's time for Savannah, the Gator Entertainer.
Hey, I just want to let you guys know how happy I am to be back in the USA.
I bet.
There's no place like home, and Gatorland is home. If you're going to any other alligator park in the state of Florida, you're wasting your time and money. You might as well go to Gatorland. We've been here. We are the originator since 1949. Gatorland has been, how do you say that? Gatorland has been the experts. No, you can't say that. That's not right.
Gatorland has been the experts?
No.
Have been the experts? Well,
set the standard?
Since 1949.
We've been open.
And we are the experts in all things alligator, crocodile, reptile. Gatorland is your go-to for anything you want to know about alligators. Check out our alligator safety video on our YouTube channel, Gatorland Vlogs, and you can see more on our website at gatorland.com.
And follow your Instagram and all that stuff.
Follow our Instagram. It's at gatorland_Orlando. And you guys can find links to all of mine on the Real Radio website. So check us out. It's going to be fun weekend. We got lots of things going on there, and you'll have lots of fun there. So this is the first time I've been back since I went to Mexico. Good to be back in the USA. Greatest country in the world as far as I'm concerned. If you disagree, I don't care because I'm American. My blood runs American. I go all around the world, and I ain't scared of nothing. And you know why I ain't scared of nothing?
Why?
Because I'm a stone-cold badass.
Okay. Yeah.
And let me tell you why.
Why?
It's following Father's Day. Father's Day, I was in Mexico. I'm just going to tell you guys a couple stories about my daddy, because we were just talking about masculine fathers versus feminine fathers. And I'm not against feminine fathers. That's great if that works for you and good for your kids growing up.
Thanks, Sav.
Hope they never get in a fight. And that's fantastic.
That's my Pinterest group, by the way.
What?
Feminine fathers. We make the dopest watermelon boats.
Oh, guys,
that's funny.
I got the Shania Twain tickets.
But let me just tell you a little bit about how I grew up and why I am the epitome of a badass boss bitch woman in 2018.
The epitome of.
Okay. First car I ever drove my whole entire life, it was a race car. It wasn't my grandma's station wagon, nothing like that. See, because my daddy was a race car driver. Mm-hmm. So when I was 7 years old, I was on a dirt track in Timmonsville, South Carolina. My daddy put me behind the wheel of a race car. He sat me in his lap and he said, "Get on down there and go." And I hauled ass around that racetrack so fast, I probably burned rubber all around it. And I'm an amazing driver today. Never been in a car accident, knock on wood, because I'm about to get on I-4.
Right.
That's how I learned to drive, and that's part of what makes me me. Now when I drive, I don't even worry about nothing because I'm the best driver because I started driving in a race car.
How old were you?
Seven.
Seven.
7 years old, started driving a race car. Dang. Next car I ever drove was Carolina Crusher. That's a monster truck if y'all ever heard of it. It was the very first monster truck there ever was besides Bigfoot. My daddy helped build it. And I drove that monster truck when I was a little girl.
Uh-huh.
5'6".
Right. There I was, 4 years old, 5'10".
Badass.
I worked at my dad's race car shop, and one time I climbed in the back of a truck, and the truck bed had rusted out. And I was playing in the back of that truck. I was probably playing military and probably shooting squirrels. Because I know one time I shot a squirrel out the back of that truck, and the recoil jumped back and busted my two front teeth out.
Oh, damn.
So for a while, I looked like everybody at the Hank 3 show. But I was proud of it, not even ashamed. So I'm playing in the back of the truck. The truck bed rusted out. My leg goes down through the truck, the hole where it had rusted out, right?
Uh-huh, yep.
So that means it sliced my leg all the way down.
This fits perfectly.
And so I'm screaming in the back of this. Blood's everywhere. I can't get out because I can't pull my leg out because I don't have enough power in one leg to pull the other one up. My daddy comes out. He gets in the back of that truck, grabs me by the arms, jerks me out of the back of the truck.
Let's
Blood's
go.
Running everywhere. And then we went to the race. We didn't even go to the doctor. We
you
didn't
fine.
Even clean it up.
You fine.
I was fine. And I still am fine.
Yeah. Fine.
I am fine. Mm-hmm. See, my daddy looked like Elvis Presley when he was younger.
Did he really?
He was a good-looking Elvis Presley. And if y'all don't know my daddy's name is Wiki. And this is his Father's Day shout-out segment I'm doing right now.
He and his boy Gene Watchy started the spring.
That's funny. All the wiki time we ever talked. And you know, everybody on this show, with maybe the exception of Angel, but I'm not quite sure, has had the privilege of meeting my dad.
Oh, yeah.
My dad is an amazing person. He was in the Marine Corps. My granddad was in the Marine Corps. Both of them went to separate wars. And we're just a strong, strong military family. one time I came home from church. My daddy was a deacon at the church, at the First Baptist Church, Terrell, South Carolina.
Oh, nice.
One time I came home from church, then we had to do yard work, even though you weren't supposed to do yard work on the Lord's Day. Mm. But I stepped on a nail. Nail went straight through the bottom of my foot, all the way up through the top of my foot. I started crying. That's... He snatched it out.
Wow.
Pulled it out and said, "Now get out in there in the yard and mow that grass."
Yeah.
So that's just how we live.
Schmittness.
And I will tell you a story. Mm-hmm. That changed my life.
Okay.
One night in the middle of the night, I heard my baby brother screaming. I didn't know why he was screaming. It was in the middle of the night. Nobody screams in the middle of the night. And I walked into the other room, and here's what had happened. My brother Butch and Josh, they slept on bunk beds. Butch was on the bottom. Josh was on the top. Josh was my baby brother. Well, my daddy had walked in to yell at Butch, who's on the bottom bunk, because Butch had been out too late.
Uh-huh.
So as he's yelling, my baby brother is on the top bunk, but he's asleep.
Mm-hmm. Wait a second. Are you doing a Duke Boy story? I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
This is my family story.
Okay.
So my daddy's yelling at my brother on the bottom bunk bed. My other brother's asleep on the top bunk bed, and my brother farted in his sleep. It happens. Well, my daddy thought he did it on purpose. So he snatched him out the top bunk bed. But what he forgot was the rail on the top bunk bed. And so, when he snatched him out the top bunk bed, his arm got hung and it broke his arm.
Oh,
and
hell.
And he threw him on the floor in the middle of the night.
Oh.
Damn. For a fart?
For a fart.
Yeah.
It must have been a hell of a fart.
So, we had
That's a game-changing fart. I think we can all agree with that, right?
Yeah.
We have to go to the hospital in the middle of the night. We go to the hospital in the middle of the night, and we're at the hospital.
This guy fart broke his arm.
They said, sir, how'd your son's arm get broken? And my daddy said, well, he farted in my face. What was I supposed to do?
That's the
now,
protocol.
Now, I thought at that point they call child services.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
But nope.
No, brother, South Carolina, that's considered a hug.
Yeah.
So let me tell you this. If you got a badass daddy, I appreciate you. If you got a feminine daddy, I appreciate you too. But the underlying general rule of this whole entire segment is don't fart in somebody's face because you never know what might happen.
The story of Wiki Bobby.
That's how you get your arm broken in South Carolina.
Somebody right now is chipping that into stone.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you.
He was tough on you, right? When you were
He was tough. Yeah. Oh, now, when I learned to ride a dirt bike, the first dirt bike I ever rode, and I was probably 4 or 5,
yeah,
actually.
Sure, that's responsible.
I popped a wheelie because I pulled it back too hard, too fast, and he snatched me off the back of that thing by my ponytail, threw me right into a bed of rocks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was just trying to pop a wheelie. I was trying to show off.
I'm trying to live.
But I love my daddy, and he made me the person I am today, and I think I'm a pretty good person.
So when your mom and dad sit around, your dad likes to kind of, he's like a thinker, right?
A thinker.
A philosopher.
He likes to throw out situations and see if you guys can figure it all out.
Uh-huh.
He's like a thinker, yeah.
Yeah, last time I was home, we did some yard work together, and I had the leaf blower. There's a picture on my Facebook. I had the leaf blower. My daddy was on the riding lawnmower, but, you know, you always want to drive the riding lawnmower.
Oh, yeah,
so
man.
I ran to try to jump in his lap, and I grabbed the steering wheel of the riding lawnmower, and when I grabbed it, I guess I grabbed it too hard, and I pulled the whole steering wheel out. They had to buy a whole new riding lawnmower. God.
Did he get mad at you?
You don't even know your own strength.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm like, Popeye.
But now, your mom would yell at you, but your dad wouldn't yell at you, right?
No, he wouldn't yell at me.
No.
Mm-mm.
He's
older now, and God bless him. I love him so much.
How old is Wiki?
I don't know, but the VA finally paid for his surgery, so I'm pretty proud of them after 13 years of trying to get it done.
So you got those calf implants?
I had a line there.
You did? I saw you.
But it's not even close
but
to that.
What were you pointing to?
I can't even remember now. He had bad back.
No, he didn't have a bad back. He got fluid in his brain.
Oh, damn.
So he had to have a stent put in.
Budweiser?
No.
Is that hereditary?
No, it's not.
Is that water on the brain or something?
This is some stretching. Yeah, concerned with.
Oh, my God, Pop.
He finally got his surgery, and I'm super proud, and he's doing really good now.
Good.
He just fell off a 7-foot ladder cleaning out the drains at the house.
Yeah,
yeah.
And asked me if he went to the doctor.
Did he go to the doctor?
No. He just got up and said, y'all going to have to finish that yourself.
Wow, you run into a lot of people who refuse doctor care.
Yeah, we're not big on medical care because of the times we didn't have insurance.
Well, you don't like going to the doctor yourself.
I don't think I've been to the doctor for 16 years.
Yeah. Right, that's probably not good.
That's the point.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, wait it up.
Yeah, I mean,
what's
here's the
point?
Thing.
I mean, we have males at 50 have that thing we're supposed to get. I thought women have the
maybe,
same thing, right?
I'm not doing it because...
Yeah,
I'm
a dance mammogrammas.
I'm a bad mammogramma.
Because I'm the baddest mammogramma there is.
Mammogramma.
Somebody should be doing that, by the way.
So no sense
in... fine as you can be.
Why check anything out? That
my
makes no
boobs
sense.
Are perfect.
I've had a...
cancer can't catch in plastic, you know?
Hey, I have had an amazing life.
Yeah.
And if I am really sick inside, and I went today, as I walked out of here, I had a beautiful ride, just like Dewey Cox said. It's been a beautiful ride.
Like Dewey Cox. All right, you can see Savannah at Gatorland.
This is the most bizarre to the top ever.
Well, this is not to the top. Yeah. But yeah.
Exactly.
Gatorland, today or tomorrow?
I will be there tomorrow. I won't be there today because I'm going out to Universal Studios area to film a show with James Yawn.
Sweet.
The Lowdown with James Yawn. I'm going to go do that show, and it's going to be awesome. And then I will be back at Gatorland tomorrow, and I'll be back with you guys on Friday.
All right. We'll see you on Friday. There you go. There's Savannah from Gatorland. You're listening to The Mantra of the Morning. Noel Van from St. Cloud, Florida. Thank you for listening to the Monster in the Morning. Says he listens every day on the iHeartRadio app. We appreciate that. And thank you so much for listening to us on iHeartRadio. What's up? I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Vince Taylor here with us today because of, well, what happened yesterday. If you didn't hear, I know not everybody can listen for all 5 hours, so you didn't hear earlier what we talked about like at a 6 o'clock hour, but that was, we went yesterday to go see Jurassic World, the new Jurassic World. It was the premiere. We gave tickets away. There were a lot of listeners that were there. And so, you know, as we talk about a lot, I've got this, you know, these little weird quirks where I like to show up to things like really early, like sometimes it's way too early.
Most
time wait like an hour early just to make sure there's no problems, nothing goes wrong. Yesterday though, before I left, I talked to Carlos and I'm like, Carlos, what time are you going to be at the movie? He goes, well, starts at 7:30. I'm going to get there at 7:15. I'm like, okay, so I'm, you know, around 5 o'clock, I'm like, you know, I really kind of want to go
right
at 6:30, you know, to be there at an hour early just in case there's any problems. But dang on it, I'm a weirdo. I need to stop doing that. I need to break out of my habit. You know,
yeah.
I'm gonna stop doing that. So me and my wife, we went and get wings beforehand, and I said I'll show up at 7:15 when Carlos is gonna be there. I'll be damned, we don't show up at 7:15, and there's Carlos, and he's like, hey man, we can't get in. What we had was a front of the line pass, which meant when there was a line, you guys would get in the front, but it wasn't like, hey, you get in for sure pass. Normally, usually we're part of the media, and they just have a seat for us. And so I was like, oh, it just reaffirmed that I need to be an hour late, early to everything. But so I'm standing there, and it's Carlos and his sister and his dad. And
oh, yeah, I brought the crew for this one. My nephew, my daughter.
And then I look over, and there's Vince Taylor. It was so weird, Vince. You were there without a hat.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I did not recognize you.
That's my version of incognito. Like, people can't recognize me without a hat. So typically, I
smart. Isn't it funny? I was like, "Who's the black?" I'm like, "Oh, who's the black guy there?"
They let him out. Who is that?
It's Vince Taylor. And so Vince was there. So what you don't know, Vince, is when I came up, you saw me come up with my wife, and then everyone was telling me, "Well, we can't get in." I'm like, "Let me go handle this situation."
Yeah. I saw you stick your chest out and walk up there.
I walked right in. I was like, "Well, maybe he'll handle it."
Giant steps.
I will go handle this situation. Not a problem. So I walk in there, like, hey, how you doing with the media? We're supposed to be with the radio station. We promoted this whole thing. And the lady was so nice. She was like, Russ, I'm so sorry.
Oh, you guys are the reason this big line's here?
No, we are not. We are not the reason. But we did give the tickets away, you know. Everybody wanted to see Jurassic World. But you know, she said, usually they put you on for media, but they put you on the front of the line, and you had to be here like an hour ago. I'm like, oh,
God. And that's when I came up, and I was like, listen, if I get on the air and I bash Jurassic World, it will not make any money this weekend.
And you too.
It will crumble. Okay, not at all.
So as
true, but I said it.
As we're walking back, the lady is so nice.
She was
and
very
she's
nice.
Like, she goes, Russ, listen, there's two other media people that aren't here, so I can get two of you in, you and Carlos. And I look over at Carlos' eyes, and he's got those doe eyes he gives me when he's trying to get me to answer a question, you know, right?
That you fall for every single time.
Yeah. And I'm like, she's like, I can get two of you in. I'm like, well, I can't. No, I can't. So if you and your wife want to come, or if you want to have Carlos, and I'm like, I can't do that. We'll just go home. You know, thank you very much. So
I would never do that. I would never leave my friends and go in. Regardless, if there was one space, I would say
who would just go in and see the movie without us?
Screw it, I'm doing it. I don't care.
Vince Taylor,
I had to take this situation and say to myself, you know what? What would I do in this situation?
I mean, look, I agree with you, dude. You've been coming in part time for 3 months now. You certainly deserve it.
I mean, come on, bro. I mean, listen, there's a whole line and there's one seat available. I didn't bring my Incredibles family like Carlos. I didn't bring my wonderful wife like Mr. Russ did. I came solo, so I get to leave with the satisfaction of knowing that I actually, in addition to that, was on time, thank you, which is not a privilege in my culture.
What time did you get there?
I got there at 6:50, bro.
You did?
He said he wanted me to be there around 7:15. I said, nah. I'm not going to do that traditionally. I'm going to go ahead and get there just in time to be in front of everybody in line. And besides,
you could have gone in.
No,
it was already sold out.
I actually hit him with the text, say, look, Los, where you at? Because right now they're not letting me in, so bring Alvaro up here. Don't bring Los.
Yeah.
We need Alvaro from The Walking Dead to come in like, listen, bruh, I'm here to shut stuff down. I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to get my review on the radio. I'm important, and I was going to ride his coattails, but...
And what did I do? They said you can't get it. I go, okay. All right.
Okay. And I couldn't go in. So anyway, so you got to go see the movie.
You're
so
darn right.
Out of curiosity, now we've already said you are
agreeable.
Ultimate nerd.
Before you even got here, everything. Vince. Before you got here, Vince, there are a couple guys are in here that were skeptical that you were going to be able to give us a decent review
because you like
everything.
I do love
admittedly.
Everything.
I do. I'm not going to lie.
Giving anything away, because if you give something away, these people on the Texas service will call me all kinds of son of a bitch. They won't call it to you. It'll be me.
In that case, everybody dies.
So what is your review of Jurassic World, the new one? What's it called?
Jurassic World. If I'm not mistaken, it is what is it? Final.
It's a Fallen Kingdom.
A Fallen Kingdom.
All right. Now this is coming from a guy who has read Jurassic Park when Michael Crichton used to write the books, Jurassic Park 2, Lost World, all of the Jurassic Park.
You read the books?
I read the books, bro. I'm a book reader, man. Yeah, I'm saying I ain't into that basketball stuff. So, and this is the second installment of Jurassic World. This is the one, obviously, with Chris Pratt. And I have to say, guys, after sitting down, it is I love this movie to death.
I am not surprised.
But I will say.
Okay.
I will say, I love the franchise, but this is the worst of all the Jurassic Park movies that has come out to date.
Oh, come on.
Wait a second.
I have to say it is.
It can't be worse than that one.
It's still good because I still like Jurassic Park. I can't trash on it too tough. But I'm this close. If I wasn't a big fan, I would say that this movie was borderline trash.
Why
is that?
Because this, it reeks of there's still money in this.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, and you don't want the movie to come out.
So they're
just
not going. They're
still
not pushing it forward.
It is being pushed forward, but that's what it feels like, Angel. It feels like a step into the next movie, not a good movie itself.
Gotcha.
It's almost like a commercial for the next movie, as if they weren't able to get a movie solid enough this particular sequel. So I was thoroughly disappointed. I actually did a blog on it and everything, man. I was not impressed, Russ. I love dinosaurs. Damn. I love the franchise. I love the movie itself in terms of Jurassic World, Jurassic Park. But this movie is a Netflix special.
It's interesting because they'd have, the Guardians, I believe, and Deadpool, of course, have made these guys start injecting pretty good copious amounts of comedy into these movies, regardless of the level of action or gore or whatever the case may be. With Deadpool, of course, it was gore and it was funny. So with the last Jurassic Park movie that had Chris Pratt, I don't remember that much of that happening, but definitely in the trailer for this movie, there's a lot of that Guardians kind of feel with it, where he's doing a lot of one-liners.
What do you guys like talk about in a sense of like there's the stuff to make money, or I mean maybe not you so much, Jimmy, but like I don't understand, like there's money in it that they're just doing a story for money's sake, they're not staying true to it.
Maybe you can liken it to the horror movie franchises. Like you look at you know the first Freddy movie and you're like, wow, that was pretty good. But by the third one, or Halloween's actually
got
a better kind.
Yeah, yeah.
The first one was terrifying. By the third one, they had computer chips and masks that made roaches come out of your mouth. It just kind of turned stupid, but they felt they had to do something with the brand because it still had value.
Exactly. Think Scary Movie 4. Think Saw 6. Think The Purge 2, 3. It's not up to par with the original Dr. Hammond, Ian Malcolm, Dr. Grant, Jurassic Parks. It just wasn't, man. I mean, you could feel it. I don't know.
Do the dinosaurs look better?
The dinosaurs are cute. They're sexy. I'm not going to lie. They did look good. But here's a few reasons you go to see Jurassic Park. You go to see the dinosaurs. You go to see the terror. You go to get scared. You go to get freaked out.
Right.
And you go to laugh a little bit because it's a lighthearted movie. This movie just didn't bring it to the level of it wasn't really scary. The main dinosaur villain, I'm not going to give anything away, but it didn't shine a light to T-Rex and all of the other dinosaurs that we've seen that were like megalo dinosaurs in the other movies. So it just, and then the setting of it, which I don't want to give away, the setting of it, the latter half of the movie, just, I mean,
ridiculous?
I'd rather with the Gatorland.
In the trailer, they kind of show what happens. I don't want to give anything away.
Is it kind of like a rehash? I mean, in the sense, Lost World got into that where they were over here and there's like these some ridiculous settings.
I mean, listen, they go into it in the trailer a little bit about how they're kind of like saving the and that premise itself sucks. I'm sorry. Like, listen, there's a bunch of dinosaurs that are trying to kill you, and at the same time, you're like, let's say it just I don't know, bro. It rubbed me the wrong
Very
way.
Very surprised.
I wanted to like it so bad.
This is not like you, dude.
Well, listen, man. Contrary to popular belief, I don't like every single thing I see.
You said
what I'm
you do.
I wasn't big on the Dukes of Hazzard reboot. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't all that great.
Nobody was.
But nah, I did want to like it, and I hung on to the very last end of the credits, bro.
and I was heartbroken when I left and had to tell the world that
what was the feeling of the theater? Did you get any vibe of the theater?
I felt that the theater had certain moments where it was like, hey, and oh, but at the end of the day, when everybody gets up and leaves, as soon as the credits come up, you know that it probably wasn't as good as it wanted as everybody wanted.
Did people clap and applaud?
Nah, that's not good.
Well, it's free.
Yeah, it's still gonna make a lot of money, Russ. It's still gonna make a lot of money. That's what the people put this together for, because they know that the following is going to lead to the dollar signs.
Well, we'll see.
But unfortunately, credibility wise,
we'll see other reviews here in the next couple days too. Absolutely. So, Vince Taylor with a scathing review.
See it on FX.
All right, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Looking like it been dipped. Dipping that. Script looking like it been flipped. Flipping that. Pull up in that phone, my God.
Hey, welcome to the Monster Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Let's see, it is Wednesday. So, Dirty Jim, let's see, you'll be doing Primetime Kitchen. That's tomorrow?
Yeah, Primetime Kitchen airs Friday night at 8 o'clock and then Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
All right. And then last night you did your...
How Tuesday, yeah.
How'd that go?
Pineapple boats with pork tenderloin. It was very good. Ooh. And then, of course, we're having our big gig coming up Sunday at Tapatura, our boozy brunch.
Hey, you want to thank Paul Amaro that listens to us in Taunton, Massachusetts every day on the iHeartRadio app, and we appreciate that. People listen all over the country, all over the world, and that's very cool. We also get email from listeners all the time. This is an interesting one, and I usually wait till the end of the show to read the email, but this came today and wanted to know what I thought, because it's happened to him when he got to work this morning. And it also kind of ties into stuff we were talking about with Tommy Lee and his son as far as airing things on social media or airing things with the public. And you guys tell me what you think. This is Jay, been listening for a long time, says a friend just called out somebody at work on his work email. Apparently, she was bullying him on social media and gossiping about him at work. So it made his life hell. So what he did is he went back and he emailed the entire team her mugshot and arrest record.
Oh,
so when he got to work this morning, he put her mugshot and her arrest record for everybody at work to see. I know this wasn't professional, says Jay.
But, neither is bullying.
But I was wondering what your opinion was on this, because he was being bullied. Would you guys do any of this if you were pushed to the edge? Let me get this correct. So basically, I had a friend. He was being bullied on social media, and she apparently was bullying him. Yeah, so this woman was bullying his friend on social media and saying all kinds of gossiping about him, saying things about him at work. So to get her back, he got a picture of her mugshot and her arrest record and sent it to everybody at work.
Like, I'm picking on Russ. Carlos gets tired of it, goes, finds my arrest record, posts it on social media. It was a friend of his or actually him?
No. It was a friend of him that was being bullied by this woman, okay?
Yeah.
And so the friend goes, okay, fine.
His buddy didn't. The guy getting bullied actually didn't do it.
No. His friend is the one that was getting bullied.
Okay.
Okay? And it was this woman that was doing it on social media.
Right.
Not in work, in the workplace, but they all work together.
The person writing the email.
Right. So the girl is the one that he posted her mugshot and her arrest record. To go like, okay, you're going to bully me on social media? I'll get you back. I'll show everyone at work that you've been arrested and you have a record.
What does bullying on social media look like when you're an adult?
Probably airing negative things, saying negative things,
making accusations,
saying that, I mean, there's, it's definitely possible.
Ah, man, I'm just trying to figure out what that looks like, especially, if this is your coworker and a woman. I mean, what could she really be saying that's so bad, especially if it's not at work?
I wish I knew that.
But subjective, because person to person, what I could say about you may not offend you, but I could say the same thing about Carlos and or Russ, and it's the most offensive thing they've ever heard in their entire lives. That's what makes it so unique.
Yeah. I think it's also... go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I think it's also kind of interesting, whatever it is that she got arrested for. What was the arrest for?
Yeah, I don't know. It says it was her mugshot and her arrest record and sent it to everybody at work.
That's kind of the day and age that we live in, though, right? Like, I mean, if you're going to get at somebody and she's going to tiptoe into the mud,
right?
Then don't get mad that you're rolling with pigs.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
you know what I mean? I mean, if you're going to go down that route and you're going to do that,
be prepared.
Be prepared
it
because
come back and smack you.
Anything that you've ever done is a click away to be found out,
yep. Dude. I mean, I got to tell you, I don't have a lot of sympathy for her. You know, I mean, I really don't. I mean, you know, it's funny because you're looking at her, you're like, wow, I would be. You know, she's doing all. But, I mean, she started it, right?
Yeah, that's what the email says, that she started it. She was bullying this guy on Facebook, saying negative things about him on social media. So what he did was like, okay, we all work together. I'll just show everybody at work that you have a mugshot and you have an arrest
record.
What's
going to be tough for this guy is this, is because, he took something that was happening on social media, used work email, and went at it that way.
Yeah.
You know, that might put him in the
tough
position.
He may get in trouble for that.
Definitely not professional.
You're right. It's not 100. I mean, it's not professional at all.
He could have done that on social media.
On his social media.
Right,
The fact that he did it through work, that's probably where he's going to get in the jam.
Now, this kind of ties into, once again, for the third day in a row, Tommy Lee and his son going back and forth at each other.
Oh, my God.
This is my new favorite show on Netflix, by the way.
It's sad, man. It really is. So
you know that there's somebody getting at both those guys to try to get him on a TV show. The way that Hollywood is and the way that I don't believe any of this, but I believe at the same time.
You don't believe it?
No, I mean, I don't believe it, but I believe it. And I would not be shocked. I would not be surprised that before the end of summer, they're on a show.
So the latest tweet by Tommy Lee is rehab for son, $130,000. Party for son on 21st birthday last year, $40,000. Medical bills after son knocks his father unconscious and uses alcoholism as a scapegoat, $10,000. Son acting like a victim on social media on Father's Day, priceless. So Tommy Lee posts that, and then his son comes back and posts.
You definitely want to heal your relationship with your son. Put a price tag on being a dad.
Yeah, do it with an old Visa marketing campaign.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely not winning Father of the Year. But then the son came back after that and said, I thank my dad for paying for my treatment. It's the best thing he has ever done for me. Today, I'm almost 2 years sober. Every day that goes by, I feel even more grateful. My clear mind has allowed me to do a lot with this time, so much that I would like to offer to pay for his treatment.
Well, we'll just wait and see what he responds. Maybe he'll respond with an awesome gif.
I got to
I
got to tell you a story. Treatment ping pong is my favorite game.
I guess the point being, though, anytime anything like this, whether it's your friends at work or whether it's, you know, celebrities or when it's played out on social media, you're going to one day wish you didn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to one day wish that all that didn't happen. Yeah. And I would just think it'd be better not to jump in to the middle of all of it, though, you know, your friend did it and posted it, you know, showed everybody her mugshot and everything. I don't think it'll be his brightest moment in life.
He'll get fired.
What about her? I mean, what did she? Maybe they didn't know about her arrest record. They might both end up going down because of this stupid online battle.
Yeah, but I mean, her bullying a guy, or even supposedly bullying a guy on social media, doesn't really have any effect on their work situation. Like, I mean, think about it. Apply it right here. Again, if I was going at somebody in my feed on Twitter, and it has nothing to do with this, and that guy came at me and, like, posted a bunch of stuff, you know, in my work-related group or whatever, it'd be one of those things. You'd have to kind of, like, I couldn't do that to Carlos. If I came in here and I put up some information about Carlos or something that nobody knew in the building, and I sent it out as an email,
you're done. I've realized this. Whenever you're about to respond with an emotional response, when it's either you're super hyped on something, you know, it's a lot of political stuff and different things that are heated. I did this yesterday. I almost responded back somebody a long thing. And it was probably the same thing maybe we all got on, a video that was been passed around the internet.
I think your method's the same thing I do. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I wrote it all out, and then I was about to hit post. I sat back. I saved it. I said, let me sleep on it. I woke up this morning. I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't send that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, man, every time I do that, I can't think of one time where I was like, I should have sent it. I can't. Yeah. It's always better to let it show.
Same method. Write it out, read it twice, delete it.
Yeah. This is one of those rare cases where the person we're talking about is actually listening right now, so they emailed me back as we're talking so we can kind of get answers to what. So remember, it's the guy was being bullied, right?
Right.
He was being bullied, and he finally had enough, so he's like, okay, you want to bully me? I'll get you back. And he let everyone at work know, hey, she's got an arrest record, here's her mugshot. The bullying he was getting is on social media, she was saying he was gay and that he physically assaulted people.
Oh,
wow.
Those are serious allegations.
So he's pissed about that. So he got pissed about that. It's fine. You're going to say stuff that, from his perspective, that isn't true. And then I'm going to show everybody who
again,
you are.
That's tit for tat. I get it. But unfortunately for him, he did it through the workplace.
He knew he could hurt her most.
Well, he's trying to get back at her, and I understand that. And that visceral reaction. The part where he's put himself in the jam is doing it in the workplace. Because
it's not a good idea, for sure.
Yeah, she did what she did, and she's doing whatever she's doing, but she's doing it in the world of what is Facebook.
You know,
and there's a proper way to attack that as well. I don't know if his response was the best
one. There's no reason for you to sit here and go back and forth, and now both of y'all can't go back to Converges because you sat here and had a decision that ultimately is going to make you both end up on Front Street.
But this is a situation where this is stuff that almost everybody deals with now, you know?
One way or the other.
Someone, you either deal with it yourself or you know someone who's going through it, and you know, that decision of defending yourself on social media or not saying anything because you want to stay out of the mud, but then again, it makes the other person look right sometimes if they're the mouthy one and you say nothing. It is a weird situation that a lot of people just don't know how to handle.
It kind
of
sucks because I thought that he was having like a roast session, you know, and he was just not able to handle it. He's like, okay, well, I'll show you. Here's your job. This is like assault. Like, this is like literal slander.
Literally what she was saying is something that is slander, and that you screen grab, and then you grab it, and you go, you don't respond. You go to human resources, say, hey, this person is saying that I'm sexually assaulting somebody that's not true. This person is saying I'm gay, true or not. And you send them, you have the information, and she's donezo. And then guess what? You block her, and then you live your life.
Block and delete. That's really what people should learn. The old block and delete is the best move of all, probably. But
Like you post, you react, you say something, what are you doing all day? You're sitting there thinking, okay, when are they going to respond? When are they going to respond? Because when they respond, well, I got this, and I'm going to say this. And the whole time, you're not living in that moment of whatever it is after you hit that post, and it consumes you. And that's what I thought yesterday when I was going to respond. I was like, I'm just going to ruin the rest of my night waiting to check to see what the response was in order for me to respond this never-ending debate on social media.
Yeah. My wife wonders how I deal with social media people who come at you, you know, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I tell her all the time, I said, you just have to ask yourself what value it has.
Right, exactly.
You know, you look at it in a whole, look at it as it's in its entirety, and go, what value would responding to this person have? What good would it do for me? If it's not going to do any good for me, and it's only self-serving, it's only for me to show that I can stand up to some guy, what value does that actually have?
Well, I've seen pushback on social. Carlos, I've seen you push back on social media before, and sometimes it works out, but sometimes it's best to take the Drake Pusha T method and just don't say nothing. Well, the damage is done.
You know, I think all of us probably have pushed back before because we're learning this social media thing as we're going. It's like we didn't grow up with social media. You know, it's all a new thing, and learning how to react and not react is you're kind of feeling it out. And so a lot of us have pushed back, haven't at times. And
I push back when somebody's being clearly bigot, racist, sexist, where it's like clear as day. And that's the situation you're talking about. It was a very bigoted comment towards me.
Right.
And I kind of stopped it there. And that person then said, hey, I didn't see it that way. I'm sorry. We had a conversation back and forth.
Yeah.
And it was ultimately solved. You know, if you can see a solution at the end of the debate, then go into it. It's worth it. But if you're like, there's no way in hell anybody's going to change opinions on it, then you're just talking to the wind.
Just simply point out the absurdity of the comment to begin with.
Yeah. And most of the time, your real friends know who you really are anyway. So something that someone says or barely knows you or just they don't know.
Have you ever been like, man, I'm not hanging out with Vince, man, because the other day he was on Facebook and somebody like got him and he didn't respond.
That's how I lose all my friends.
Yeah, I'm sorry, dude.
I'm one of these feminine fathers, I guess. Yeah.
So with Tommy Lee and his son, this is like the third or fourth day this has played out. They've been going back on social media. Obviously, one day, one of them is going to regret it. I mean,
they're both going to regret their actions.
Yeah.
I don't see Tommy Lee regretting a lot of anything, to be honest with you guys. I mean, if you look at his life, I don't see the ability to regret there.
Mm-mm. The problem with Jimmy pointed out, the problem with it is that he's wanting to put a dollar value on everything he's done for his son, and he thinks that he's supposed to get respect because I've paid for this, I've paid for that, I've paid for this. You're supposed to respect me because I gave you all this money. And really, what the son is saying is, it wasn't the money I ever needed, Dad. Yeah, yeah. I needed you to spend time with me.
Yeah.
And obviously, that is the outcome that you get.
I mean, we understand. understand Fresno had to hear girls, girls, girls.
But here's the thing, though, right? At some point, that kid's got to be able to forgive his dad, because his dad, to be able to afford the rehab and all the things that that kid went through, his dad had to be on the road.
And you're right. And
you know what I'm saying? So somewhere in the
middle. There is another side to it.
Yeah, there's somewhere in the middle, there's got to be a place where these guys can
go. And that middle's therapy. I mean, honestly, if they both just man up and go into a therapy session together and spend time talking to each other with a mediator there emotionally, where they can say what they feel without the feedback or having to deal with all the minutiae that happens in an argument like that, that he said, she said, yeah, but you are and you are, and get past all that and have somebody to go, okay, guys, let's get back on track here. What's the problem? Where is it really going bad?
And that's where the Kardashians step in, and this is going to be the new show on reality show before the end of summer.
Tommy Lee and his son.
Tommy and the boys.
Keeping up with the time.
Yes. Yeah, going to therapy.
Saving the Rock.
And let's be real, Tommy's track record when it comes to controversy always leads to dollar signs. I mean, remember what he did with Pam on that boat? That didn't turn out too bad. Maybe he thought it was a bad decision at the one time, but then once it hit every porn store in America,
it's gonna be
a good decision.
But I mean, again, now look at the outcome of that. There's your money. I understand that Pam's not this guy's mother, right? Or is.
Yeah, so
he gets to see and hear everybody that he knows has seen his mother get banged by his father.
But guess what paid for that rehab?
Residuals. At what value? I mean, what cost?
His son hates him now.
You know? Yeah, you have to have rehab because you watched your mom.
That is true.
And you know, I will tell you, when I saw the video, we had the video on the website for a little bit, and then they took it down, you know? But when I saw it, I thought, well, maybe he's just passed out sleeping. Maybe he didn't get knocked out, but Tommy even admits that was after he got knocked out by his son.
Not a good look.
He didn't have to say that, you know?
Well, speaking of Pam, she did weigh in on this. Pam Landerson, disgusted by Tommy Lee's attacks on the sons.
Yeah.
Thinks he acts like a petulant child, not a dad.
Yeah, she's on the side of the sun. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Russ,
they're getting a new show soon. They're getting a show so quick.
Yeah, they are.
Could you see any of your sons knocking you out at any point?
No.
My boy could choke my ass out right now. I just already told. I've always told him 100% because he's 140 pounds of pure muscle and mad. And we do that father-son thing all the time. And he goes, I can put you down. I said, yeah, you eventually got to sleep though. So I'm always gonna have that on you.
Yeah, my son,
I thought it might bite his eyes out.
My son didn't learn any wrestling at all, so I know many more moves than him. Still with his ass.
Yeah, come off the top rope on him. Okay.
All right. Hey, listen. When we come back, Deborah Roberts is gonna bring you the real news. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monsters Morning.
Radio station.
Real radio. Here's a shout out to Dave Watson. Listens to us in Summerfield, Florida, on the iHeartRadio app, and Chris Boyle listens every morning in Fort Smith, Arkansas. On the iHeartRadio app. Also, checks us out on our YouTube channel, iHeartMonsters Radio on YouTube. That's three words. You can check that out by going to our website at monsters.fm, and it's 9 o'clock. What does that mean? At 9 o'clock, go and check and see the Daily Five. If your name is one of the names on the Daily Five, you could win the pair of tickets to the Monster Midway Sweet Party at the Coke Zero Sugar 400. That's a really great prize. Check our website right now, monsters.fm. If your name is on there, be the first to grab the prize, and you're a winner. And if you want to just buy tickets and party with us, you can. 1-800-PIT-SHOP, and that is for the Monster Midway Sweet Party at the Coke Zero Sugar 400. Looking forward to that. So Deborah Roberts will be in a second or two to give us the real news. You know, Angel sent me an article that was a pretty good one. A lot of people have a problem with this, I think, or they think they have a problem with this, and they try to fix the problem. Right. And from this article that I'm reading, this is something you can really never can fix, and that is the problem of self-control. It's an article that talks about people that try to get better at self-control, and it basically says in the article that, listen, we're meant to fail with stuff like that. You know, like, let's say there's a plate of brownies, you know, and you really love brownies, and there's a plate of brownies there, and you're getting hungry, and you're like, man, I should have self-control and not eat that brownie or those brownies. In this article, it talks about how you're just setting yourself up to fail. The best thing to do, that researchers have found, the best thing to do is to just get yourself out of the situation. Don't put yourself in a situation where you have to use self-control, because people just
undoubtedly we're going to fail.
You're
going to
fail,
and that's what the you know, it's the thought process, or if you you espouse to this philosophy, as opposed to trying to fix yourself, because more than likely whether it's the brownies or whether it's any of these other vices or whatever, because of the way that we are constructed and the mechanisms that make us human beings, more times than not, we're going to fail.
Yeah.
So their thought process is that it's a lot easier to manage yourself and manage the situation as to not put yourself in those situations to fail.
Yeah, don't have those things in your house if you don't want to eat them. Don't go to those particular places. If you don't want to drink, don't go to the bars. You know, and that basically is what it says. It says that self-control is something that people just cannot get better at. And I see Deborah Roberts has flown in here like a little fairy, landed in her seat, and she's shaking her head. She does not agree.
No, give in.
You just said just give in.
Just give in, man. Just give in.
She ain't a fighter when it comes to some stuff. Namely whiskey.
It depends, you know. But I just find that you fail bigger when you fight yourself.
Well, what this is saying is, I think, kind of basically the same thing. Don't fight yourself.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to win. So don't put yourself in those situations. Don't have the plate of brownies in there if that's your weakness. Yeah. Yep. If it's a big sandwich, you know, don't go to that sandwich store, Russ. You know, that kind of stuff.
Well, kind of. I mean, I lost the most weight after trying for years to diet when I stopped dieting.
Right.
When you just stop, you just give up the ghost.
Yeah.
You know, you eat your Big Mac at noon instead of at 9 p.m.
And there's some science behind the article.
Totally.
So what they did in 2011, they examined how people deal with self-control and found that those of us are best at or being strong-willed or dedicated, they didn't experience temptation any less. They just didn't put themselves in those situations.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Makes so more sense.
Where you tell somebody, oh, just be strong-willed or that. That necessarily isn't what happens.
Right. Yeah, Spence Taylor.
This is exactly why I don't go to clubs anymore, especially when Angel is DJing, because every time he plays Juvenile, I cannot help but back my ass up.
Yeah, I understand.
So if you just stay away from it, you don't end up doing it.
I mean, yes, I can't do it no more, Angel. Sorry.
That makes
sense.
And it's not always eating. It can be other things that you just don't want to do. It just says, you're probably not going to get better at self-control, so don't beat yourself up about not, you know, having that self-control. What's happening in the real news, Deborah Roberts?
Well, the immigration flap continues. We had two Florida lawmakers yesterday, Senator Bill Nelson and Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, try to enter the facility in Homestead that's just been recently reopened after being closed last year.
Yeah.
Can hold up to 1,000 children. They were denied entry, so you can expect to hear more about that going on.
Yeah,
that flap.
So they're denied entry. So they're trying to. This would be. So down in Miami, right?
Yeah.
And so let's say, would it be immigrants coming from what?
Well, they don't know. Cuba, they don't know if these are children who came unaccompanied, mm-hmm, and crossed the border themselves,
mm-hmm,
or if they were separated from their parents when they crossed illegally.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get that information. Senator Nelson says he was told before he went to visit that he would be allowed to go, and then when he arrived, he was blocked from entering and was told he needed to give a 2-week notice of his visit. So they're still just trying to get the details on what the situation is in there.
Yeah, that was not a good look, though.
Yeah, not a good look. Yeah, definitely not. SunPass maintenance issues are now bleeding over into ePass. It's becoming an ePass issue now.
They confuse me.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
You know how many times I've called to pay one of those late things and I've called the wrong damn center?
Yeah.
Well, and
you need to call SunPass.
They've had to open like 3 new ePass centers because SunPass went down for a 2-week maintenance starting on June 1st.
Ooh.
Oh, it's been awesome. That's why I've been just rolling on all these roads, not paying for anything.
Damn.
Yeah, well, you're going to get charged. And what SunPass is trying to do is trying to stagger the charges.
Like prorate it?
So that you don't get all these lump sum, you know, charges all at once. Well, the problem is because they're having some computer snafus, now it's affecting ePass. ePass says it has 11 million toll transactions it needs to process.
Damn.
You know, of e-pass riders going through SunPass lanes, and so they are not able to process their tolls.
That'll take a little time.
So keep a close eye on your accounts.
Is there any explanation why is there a reason why there's two different entities for this?
No, because you're able to use your SunPass on e-pass and your e-pass on SunPass.
Yeah. So these are government... Or are these business things?
No, they're government, like Greater Orlando Transportation Authority.
Okay.
Are you saying that this is because of a computer systematic glitch or something?
Well, they took the system down for 2 weeks to do maintenance. The only thing you could do is use your transponder to pay tolls.
But none
of the centers were open. You couldn't call and get information. You couldn't access your account.
2 weeks is unusual, isn't it?
It's very unusual. It's a long time, and it's over, you know. I mean, everyone still needs to drive and get to work, get to the grocery store. And I'm one of those people who's wondering, when are these tolls going to be taken out of my account? And are you going to hit me all at once?
Man, it's crazy. Like the SunPass, then it was the Expressway Authority at some point. We've had some weird occurrences over the last 10, 15 years in this city with paying tolls.
Hasn't it been odd, Deb? It really has.
And like that authority was like corrupt as balls for a while.
Exactly. We had a lot of corruption, a lot of cronyism going on. And so they had to remove officials and try and get the public trust back into the Expressway Authority, and issues like this where you bring down SunPass for 2 weeks.
Yay.
2 weeks to install a new computer. It's a long time, but it's messing everybody up.
Let's be real though, Deb. There's a lot of folks out there like, yep, I didn't pay because y'all system was down. Exactly. It has nothing to do with me.
So
but they're still going to get charged, right?
Oh, you're still going to get charged. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, as an aside, the best scam when I first moved to Orlando, and I don't know if Vince knows this, the best scam I ever heard when it comes to tolls is when people still use coins predominantly. There was before the passes.
Oh, God.
Back on, up in from Kirkman Road all the way to John Young on the East West. It was the only game in town at that time. Kids figured out that they could take those snow cone, those conical cups, those paper cups, and put them down into the receiver, the coin receiver, and wait in the bushes for a couple hours. Just do it around and come back. I think they estimated they were making $300 to $500 a night because the coins would never go down in the machine. They would get caught by the cups, and they would just pull them back out and take the money.
Pay my way through college.
What else is happening in the real news?
Volusia County jellyfish stings are continuing. They said it can continue for a few more days, or the weather. It all depends on the weather.
Yeah, I was asking what it was. It was the warm weather. It turned out it really wasn't that. It's the wind.
Wind
it
and so ocean currents.
Somebody also texted in yesterday and said that there is a the shark count for our waters and the turtle count. Off our coasts are down, and that is the food of those particular species.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That could cause a possible increase in what we see making it to the coastal areas or the areas that we like to go to.
Yeah, so if you're and that's what beach safety is saying. You know, add the beautiful weather, lots more people at the beach, a lot of jellyfish at the beach, so you might still want to just, you know, pack a bottle of white vinegar in your beach bag on the way over because they won't know when they go away. They said that if the winds change, they'll be gone on a dime.
Wow.
White vinegar. You do not need to do what we saw in the Friends episode when Chandler peed on Monica.
That's not exactly.
And that took something out of your repertoire, did it?
That's on my fantasies, man. Yeah, man. That's on my bucket list.
Is there anything else you wanted to ask me about news-wise?
No, well, anything else going on?
Nothing that I can think of apart from the immigration debate. That's kind of where my head has been all day.
Yeah.
No, I know the Pro Bowl's coming back to Orlando, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Third year. This was, you know,
that's a big deal, right?
It's a huge deal. Yep. It's a huge deal. I don't know if Kilauea had any reasoning for them not wanting to take the game back to Hawaii.
Oh.
Or the fact that we're the busiest airport in Florida with the sixth in the country.
Right.
Million visitors last year. We definitely have the draw that they just didn't have in Hawaii because people don't have the money to travel.
So could this be a permanent, this is the third year in a row, it seems like it could be a permanent fix for the Pro Bowl, always comes to Orlando. I think that would be great.
I think it would be great as well, and I think if we continue to put on good shows and draw big crowds, it was like averages 57,000 people a game.
It got nothing but great reviews. I simply can't imagine why the NFL would take it away from a market like this. I mean, really, if you think about it, we genuinely have everything that they want.
Not to mention families.
I mean, it's the right time of year to be in this market.
The hotels.
Because what you want is you want the players. You want the players to want to go, and they're going to want to go with their families. Because like Miami is more of a party kind of a thing. Orlando really is the best market for it.
It would be a different Pro Bowl in Miami because it would be all the single guys in the NFL.
Yeah, right.
Or the guys who are single for the weekend.
But if you, here's a cool thing, though. I mean, and if you think about it, even if you are one of those guys that likes to get down, come play the game, and then Miami's 3 hours away, a short flight. Or Tampa, if you want to go over there and do some gambling, hang out in that area, whatever the case may be.
All the pimps are going to be driving the hoes up here anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Leave us alone.
That's the other part about it that's cool.
We have a lot of prostitutes there.
Every chick, every reputable dancer in the nation is here at all of our fine adult establishments.
That's true.
You could go to any one of these and watch some amazing Make It Rain episodes.
Yes, Deborah, for stuff like that, do they sign like contracts for like 5 years or any kind of deal like that? Or is it always year by year?
Well, for the first two games, it was exercise the option after the first two. So I think going forward, we'll see whether or not they'll continue to stretch out the contract. But for right now, I think it's just kind of like taking a wait and see approach. Just
one more year.
But you know, the push is on to move the state capital to Orlando.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah, because, you know, Tallahassee, it's, you know, Orlando is central to the state.
It would make more sense.
It would make a lot more sense.
Wow.
It would make it easier for lawmakers.
Wow, how often
Russ
that
was
happen?
Just in Tallahassee. He said it was a butthole.
Yeah, not a big fan. I was not a big fan of Tallahassee.
I think Tallahassee is really, really pretty, but I am surprised being that it is the seat of state government, just how backwoods it is.
Without saying,
unsophisticated.
It was very, and that's for me to say that, but it was very backwards.
Very.
Like people were a little bit slower.
Well, they call it North, don't they North call Georgia. It Southern Alabama or North Georgia or something like that? Yeah.
It was very Alabama-like.
Very, very pretty, but yeah, not. I met a woman there who had never even left Leon County.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if we did that, we'd have to build, there'd be a new building and the whole thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that'd be really cool.
I mean,
let Disney build it.
Don't expect the guard up in Tallahassee to want to let the state capitol go, but this has been bandied about for years, but because of transportation and because we are, you know, a big growing city, we're central to the rest of the state, we make it easy.
Side of town would we put this?
Pine Hills.
Right. You say, where would you build the governor's mansion in this city?
Yeah, Mercy Drive sounds great. I'm not going to lie. I love Tallahassee. I don't think Orlando needs to be the capital.
No?
We have a traffic problem as it is. Keep that stuff at Appalachia, bro. We don't need that
stuff. If this was the capital, though, we'd get everything fixed first, man.
No,
because the politicians would be right here. They want it more beautiful and easier than ever.
Have you been to the south side of Tallahassee?
I went to Tallahassee. I don't know if I went to the south side.
Bro. I'm sorry, man. They can't fix there is still little champs in Tallahassee.
All right, when we come back, it's time for
do you realize they have a higher crime rate in Tallahassee than the national average?
And you want to bring that to Orlando? Get up out of here.
When we come back, it's time for the nerdy news. Thank you, Deborah Roberts. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Mornings on Real Radio 104.1 broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I want to put a shout out to Georgia Trait, who listens to us in Clearwater, Florida every day on the iHeartRadio app and watches us on our YouTube channel. It's iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. That's three words. We appreciate you checking it out. You can find out everything on our website at monsters.fm. It's a springboard to everything we're doing, whether it's Dirty Jim and the Jim Colbert Show on Friday or Primetime Kitchen, or whether it's Angel and what the hell's Angel listening to on Friday night, stuff that Carlos is doing with acting, or whether what's happening with me and the new graphic novel that'll be coming out soon. All of that is on our website at monsters.fm. And it's time for the Nerdy News with Jeff Kaufman and Big City Comics. Hello, Jeff. How you doing, man?
So many cool things going on right now.
Yeah. Things are going great. The graphic novel thing is coming along good. I know we have another editing session this week.
Yeah, tomorrow we meet again in the office for about 3 hours. But one of the cool things that we just found out through the radio station is we're going to be able to do with your Kickstarter for the book in August, we're going to actually have some cool personal things going on. Like, you know, they're going to have one-on-ones with you at, like Gatorland and stuff like that, where you and I get to basically do these BS tours, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
What is the Kickstarter? You guys keep saying that. I don't know what that is.
Okay, Jimmy, there are a couple ways to put out a book. You can just put it out the stores, which this will be in the stores, but Kickstarter...
It'll be in stores worldwide.
Yeah, Kickstarter is a crowdfunding. So what will happen is in August, we offer a bunch of different levels that people can buy. This cover of the book, this variant of the book, the hardcover versions, And people get to buy directly from you instead of like going through a store or something like that.
And they get the first run. So like if you know, you get the first 15 or whatever. So one day if it ends up becoming like let's say Walking Dead, which was a graphic novel, if you got one of the first 15 or first 20, that's a bigger deal.
Yeah. Actually, it's going to be for the first issue. So it's going to be the first issue with a couple cool variant covers. But some of the cool things is Stan Lee news.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw
now,
that.
Hold on. I don't want to take credit for that. But we did call that, didn't we? We called it from 3 months ago when I said, this guy's being held hostage. These people are doing him wrong.
You did say that. You said someone had told you, someone you knew, gave you the inside word. We actually talked about it first, and I think it ended up being on some entertainment blog or something that we broke that news.
Yes, Washington Post, believe it or not, said that we broke it, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Look at us. True story.
A little city kicking ass in Washington. But the idea was that Stan Lee, when I said that these people are taking advantage of him, well, the major manager, Kia Morgan, remember I said last week he was arrested for filing a false report?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the false report, you'll love it, was about the inspectors coming in trying to check out Stan Lee, and he reported them as like they were intruders.
Oh.
The inspectors.
Oh. Yes, like the police and the social services.
So he reported them as being intruders. So he was arrested for that.
So he's right now he has an injunction, a restraining order. He can't come within 100 yards of Stan Lee.
Wow.
So,
damn.
So your guy with your bowler, those days are done.
How's he doing? How is Stan Lee doing?
From what I hear and from the people I talk to is that he's dealing with possible dementia and, you know, that happens when you get to 95, 96 years old. But at least they're not going to push him now. They're not going to run him out like, you know, it's a circus act. So they're not going to stick him in a convention and just have him rubber stamp signatures and not know what he's doing.
Wasn't he making like videos and stuff and like videos on Facebook and...
Yeah, you had the guy Morgan who was sitting there behind him, you know, telling him what to say.
Oh, geez.
And these videos were like hostage videos. And when I would watch them, I'd go, do you hear them talking in the background? And for some reason, they were only listening to Stan's word. They weren't listening to the guy pulling the strings and behind.
Yeah, because Stan was saying super stuff by himself, like Batman is the greatest hero of all time. And
was he really saying that? Wow.
No, I hope that someday... that when I'm in that situation, hopefully the people around me will be good people and not what he's got.
Yeah. Hopefully they can just turn me into a robot. Put my consciousness in that.
But it's 100 yards away, so he's got to be at least a football field away from Stan. So, so I love that. Also, remember we talked about when I talked about the deal with Fox and Disney and getting the X-Men and everything else?
Is it getting worse?
It's getting worse.
Oh.
It's getting worse. Comcast has now put the offer at $65 billion.
Would that be?
Yes. But the only problem is this. This is where things get a little dicey. They don't have the money, so they have to borrow it.
So they're borrowing.
So that's
going to
put them in hot on levels that they can't even imagine.
So Jimmy, you available? A couple of them gold bars?
Yeah, I've got a couple. My back door is held open by one, so I'll think about that one.
Who's buying who again? So
Disney was going to acquire Fox.
Disney would buy Fox.
Which had rights to X-Men,
right.
Fantastic Four, and all the stuff. Well,
they could outbid by Comcast.
But the offer was only like $49 billion, and it wasn't a whole cash offer.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big deal because, you know, we don't know where X-Men is going to have a home.
Right.
So, and Comcast might not make it the year.
Hmm.
You know, when you put this much money out there, they're expecting huge revenue, and they don't get it that these movies don't really do well unless Marvel and Disney actually have a hand in it, which they're not going to let them do.
Hmm.
So, I mean, with stuff like that, you know, you got to really pay attention to that stuff.
So, I want to fight back on that. I don't know if that's true.
We'll see.
Spider-Man wasn't a Disney crack. That was Sony.
No, but Sony, what you don't know is Sony cut a deal with Disney, and Disney produced and wrote the thing.
Oh, all right.
So the last Spider-Man.
The last one, not the other ones.
That's what you call a geek over the top.
You just geek-splained, put it that way.
I don't like that. Another interesting news, Star Trek.
Yeah, well,
Jean-Luc is going to get his show again.
What? I saw
Jean-Luc Picard is coming back.
This is with the CBS with the
Discovery.
It's Discovery. It's not CBS on television.
They fired the guys who were doing Star Trek Discovery. They fired both of them, the showrunners.
Right.
And they brought in this monster on top who's going, not only am I going to fix Discovery, but I'm bringing Jean-Luc Picard back.
And the only way you can do that is you've got to go to the special CBS online, right?
We'll see what they do. No, I actually think that CBS is going to actually start putting Star Trek shows back on regular television.
Please.
To compete, because that's what they're going to do. Now, Carlos.
Yes.
You got something you need to tell us? You got a little undercover stuff?
I do not.
A little Walking Dead with our boy John Bernthal.
What's going on with him?
Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. The Punisher, the guy who was on Walking Dead for years. But Shane was
pivotal
seen
character.
On set.
Oh.
Ooh.
And what they're saying is that he's going to be in one episode. I don't know if he's going to be a ghost. I mean, he's dead.
Now,
right?
They've considered this. This is what I read this morning is they're considering the twin theory.
He had
a twin brother and blah, 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 blah.
I would eat that up all day.
I would.
I don't care. That is the lamest thing they could do, and I would eat it up all day just to bring him back.
Get ready for a bunch of that when Andrew Lincoln leaves.
And the greatest thing about our world right now is because of Netflix and places like that, if a show gets canceled, Netflix can go, hey, let me give you a shot.
Oh, yeah.
Lucifer is now a Netflix show.
Yeah, so Lucifer was canceled from Fox, and so Netflix
wasn't a bad show.
Yes.
I caught a handful of those.
It was good.
I thought it was good.
It wasn't bad. So, yeah, this can happen with Netflix. Now, how many shows are they signed for?
They have billions now. They are making so much money.
But, I mean, as far as Lucifer.
Like, a whole season.
A whole season.
A whole season. They didn't say exactly how many, but the idea of seeing Lucifer again in season four, you know, it's pretty cool.
Now, if it goes to Netflix, then it can be a little more, let's say, racier,
risque.
Right?
Risque. Oh, yeah.
Risque, yeah.
And we talked about The Incredibles and Breaking Raws. I saw it last night because that's my geekness. I have to see it before I talk about it. $180 million opening weekend.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Crazy.
The highest children's cartoon ever.
Well, we went last night to go try to see the Jurassic World, and the theater was packed with people going to see, you know, Incredibles.
It was full last night. It was full on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And I go to the Artagon because the theaters pop up. I love that theater. But $182 million. And what's weird is, you know what the next movie was after it? Ocean's 8 at $18
million. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
Now you understand why Jurassic World is waiting to be open this week. Because they didn't want to take on, you know, you're talking about Deadpool, you're talking about Solo, and you're talking about The Incredibles. And just so you know, $350 million.
Yeah.
That's what they've grossed. That's what Jurassic Park has done overseas.
Oh, wow.
Jurassic World.
Jurassic World overseas.
Without even opening here yet.
No.
Hey, real quick, I've just got an update on the texting service saying that this morning Reuters is reporting that Disney has counteroffered in the $71 billion range. Oh,
$71
billion. Wow.
Ooh.
Wow, they don't have it.
That's a lot of bees.
I want you to quote me on this and remember this moment when you heard it.
All right.
Hold on, let me get my tattoo gun out.
Write this down. In less than 3 years, Apple's going to go over the top and buy Disney.
You think so?
Apple?
They have the money. It's going to happen.
I don't know.
And when it happens, Angel,
I'm writing it down.
All right, because you have a lot of companies, because Disney, that's a lot of money
June
to fork out
20th,
for them.
Yeah, I got you.
And they got the cash.
So just so you know, the only one of us that did see Jurassic World last night was Vince Taylor.
The only one of us that matters.
And he gave it a not-so-great review.
Nah, I wasn't feeling it, man.
Were you not feeling it because you had great expectations?
Of course. Well, I mean, shoot. It's Michael Crichton's legacy on the line here.
Yeah, but they've only had eight of them. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I mean, come on. If they're going to come back out, they've got the power of Chris Pratt. They got Bryce Howard. They got Steven Spielberg's name on it.
Did you say, like, Bryce Howard? Like, that's
Bryce Howard is beautiful. Okay, I love Bryce. Right. She is sexy. Right. I love me some Bryce Howard. But those names alone should catapult this into a little bit of a movie.
What I figured out going to a movie last night, I went to see the hotel, whatever they called it, the hotel. Yeah. And what I figured out with this one is we have to change the way we feel about things.
What do you mean?
I think we have to set proper expectations when we go to the movies now. So we don't go in and we're like, oh, this movie wasn't super. Mm. You know, I walked in that movie going, okay, what is it about? I go, oh, it's a drama. It's not like an action movie.
Mm.
And once you realize that, you're going, oh, it's not that bad.
Okay.
So people, when you're going out to movies now, don't let your friends pump you up. Go in and say, well, this movie's going to be okay. So when it's a little bit above, I bet that movie's okay.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I want my movies. I have higher expectations. They cannot suck.
Yeah, okay? when you pay as much as you pay, it goes, yeah.
Yeah, and wait in line, and you're paying an arm and leg and half of your Everest tuition to kind of get into the movie, bro. I'm sorry. I just want it to not suck.
What'd you pay to get in yesterday?
All right, well, you know, that's
exactly it. All right, good point, yeah.
All right, Carlos, I want to give you a chance to win your $5 back.
All right.
I want you, okay? Avengers is right now, it looks like it's 30-something million behind Black Panther.
Right.
Domestically.
Yes.
How about I give you 7 weeks, and I'll bet you $5 again that Avengers will pass Black Panther.
Man.
Domestically.
Man, 7 weeks.
And realize last week they only made like 5-6 million, so that's kind of hard
right. So you're just betting that they stay a consistent rate.
He's just taking money from a baby.
Yeah, you know. How about
Let's do 5 weeks. I'll do it.
No, I got to go 6. I'm uncomfortable.
I want to come back
from Comic-Con and feel good about this.
I will not accept the bet. I see your math.
How about
we
go 250 for 6 weeks?
250
for 250.
250 for 6 weeks.
Sure, what the hell?
So okay, you say right, in good. 6 weeks.
In 6 weeks, Avengers passes Black Panther domestically.
By $250.
I'm betting $2.50.
Oh, $2.50.
Only because the bootlegs are making a circulation in the hood right
now.
Yeah,
I think that's what's going on. But some of the cool things going on right now.
What do you think Jurassic World's going to do this weekend?
Oh, God. How about I bet? God, I want to say this. $190.
Yeah, I think it's about
$190 million.
Yeah, it could go over 200 just from the effect we saw last night of how many people there. Yeah. But I think The Incredibles 2 is going to dip into that.
I think so.
Yeah, it's The Incredibles 2. Actually, I'd like to give my review on that.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it better than the first one.
Wow,
that's the
little boy was less irritating to me in this movie.
Yeah,
and there was a lot. The villain was cooler. I loved the idea of. I loved the effects. I loved that there was. It was just cooler, I thought. I enjoyed that. Don't go in with huge expectations. Just go and grab your popcorn and enjoy the movie.
Go in with the expectations because it's that good.
Hey, you're talking about Black Panther real quick. Did you see, I think it was the MTV Movie Awards, the guy that played Black Panther.
Chadwick.
Yeah, he got his Golden Popcorn Award or whatever. Uh-huh. And he gave it to that guy who actually was a hero and grabbed the gun from those guys at the Waffle House.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that guy was there and he gave him the award. I thought that was kind of cool.
That's what we do. That's dope.
I love that. I love when real heroes exist and we really don't talk about them. We're too busy Facebooking each other about what we're upset about. We don't celebrate the real heroes out there, not the superheroes, not the guys who the politicians who act crazy. I'm talking about just the guy who puts his ass on the line and does really cool thing. And I think a lot of that has to do with the superhero movies and the comic books that you grew up on.
Oh yeah,
you know, where you're willing to go, no, I'm going to do that. I'm going to step out there and help somebody.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was definitely trying to save his own hide, but he saved a lot at the same time.
He sure
so
did, yeah.
I think that he gets that hero award and deserves
Jeff
it.
Jeff Kaufman, who's the nerd of the week?
The nerd of the week, I'm going to give this. I'm going to give it to Phil Boyle, who owns Coliseum Comics.
Okay.
He's been a comic. He's been there since 1983.
Damn.
He has 9 stores. And
he's been in here before. We used to do a bit with him where we would reenact a comic book. And
we're talking 35 years of selling comics all across Central Florida and introducing tens of thousands of kids to comic books so that they could, when something happens, they could be a hero too. So
they have 9 stores right now, right?
9 stores all crazy, over. Man. One of the best stores is in Millennium, and they're doing this cool thing where they're doing a variant for issue 50 of Batman.
Oh.
So there are like 3 special covers for that, and the artist is actually coming into the stores on July 4th.
You know, that's something, as long as I've been into comic books and stuff, I never really thought about or realized that was one of the things that they do, is they'll have a same comic book with different covers, and people like to collect them all.
They want that special limited cover that they can't get normally, and I know they're doing an issue 50 by a fantastic artist named Ale Garza. And that's July 4th. He's actually going to be in Orlando. So that's kind of cool for those who understand these guys. So
that's Jeff Kaufman. He owns Big City Comics. And also, you can get hold of him. He's a lawyer. That's what he really does.
I'm a personal injury lawyer.
And it's at whenyouneedus.com. That's whenyouneedus.com. I'll see you tomorrow for some more editing.
Yeah, we got about 3 hours.
How many hours do you think we have put in this graphic novel?
I have spent more time with you than I have with my wife in the last 3 months.
So we put over 300 hours in it, right?
Easy.
Yeah. So it's a lot of work. But it's going to be great when it comes out. Appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you so much. When we come back, Carla's going to take you to the top. You're listening to The Mantra of the Morning. You are listening to The Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Vince Taylor hanging out with us today. Shout out to Steve and Amanda. Listen to us in Groveland, Florida, every day on the iHeartRadio app. We do appreciate that. You can listen to us anywhere in the world on the iHeartRadio app, and it's very cool. We also are on our YouTube channel, iHeartMonsters Radio on YouTube. All of that is linked to our website, monsters.fm. Now it's time for Carlos. Take it to the top.
Let's go. Okay, good morning, everybody. Hello, my name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To The Top. Every single morning, try and take it to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. Bang! Today's no different.
Today is an awesome Wednesday. Feels a little like a Tuesday, though. Anybody got that feeling?
No.
No Tuesday feel?
No.
Tuesday has a very sterile feel to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's an odd day.
It's an odd day. No, not Tuesday. Well, guess what? No. It's brought to you by Bill Ray Nissan. You hear me talking about them because I love them, and that's where I get my cars at. Go to BillRayNissan.com and check out that Versa that they have right now with amazing deals, at 2017 Versa, and you can check it out at BillRayNissan.com. That's where you want to go. That's where you want to see. So I have a frog story.
A frog story?
These are my favorite kind of stories.
I'm kind of growing to hate frogs.
Wow. How can you hate frogs? They're kind of cute.
I know. I think I think they're little aliens. They look like little aliens, and they're right in front of us, and the whole time they've been here. And I think when the bigger aliens come down, be like, guys, it was frogs. Look, I mean, they look like they jump, they're sticky, they're whatever.
Yeah,
right?
The whole time.
So I go to yesterday, and I go to drive to work early in the morning, whatever. And as I'm driving, and I'm about to get on I-4, I noticed that there is a frog on my window.
Right.
As I embark onto, actually, 408. And I'm like, oh, damn it. There's nothing I can do. If I lower the window, he gets stripped. If I can't do anything. I have to pay attention to the road. And so what do I see? Oh, driving. He's holding on.
Oh.
Gone. Didn't and I was like, oh, felt a little sad. Get to work, do the thing, about to leave. Now, I had another car here because I left on Friday for things, so we left the car. So, switched to a different, or the other car, driving down, about to get on I-4. I look to my left, another frog is on my damn window.
Yeah. Sure, it's not the same one?
It's not, because it's two entirely different ones. That other one met his fate over near 408, and not anywhere near the station.
Right.
And so with this one, I had enough to lower the window a little bit. So I'm going, so I lowered the window a little bit. Mm-hmm. And as it lowers it, it jumps to the side view mirror, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mirror right there. And as I'm on I-4, I look at the frog, and the frog's looking at me. And I can't reach for the frog because I'm on I-4, and I can't be dying over any stupid-ass frog.
Right.
So what I do is I look at the frog, and I do this to me. I go, like, jump.
Yeah, go.
Get in.
Go.
Get in. I give him the head nod, jump. Full while knowing he probably doesn't understand human body language.
More than likely. More than
yeah.
Than
yeah. But sure, he might. Right?
He could.
And as I see him, we're about to get on I-4. He's about to make that jump, and I'm like, ready for it. Just like, bah! He falls again and meets the same fate as his other frog brethren.
Bye.
I think frogs are attracted to me.
This is why I love Carlos. You never know his many talents. Father, actor, radio host, frog Uber driver.
Frog.
Right. I had no idea.
Fruber.
I had no idea.
You know, it was, should I have grabbed him, then risk the fate of other people?
And warts.
I don't really know. The thing about frog, that's a myth, right? They don't really give you warts. I mean, I had a frog, I opened up an umbrella, and one of those albino frogs jumps on me, and it was a big one, and I jump like it was going to bite me or something. Like, a frog won't do anything. Yeah, it's just a frog.
It's a sign of good luck, actually.
Is it really?
A frog jumping on you is good luck.
In what culture?
In all cultures. I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
I've
seen like
twice.
A bunch of little girls.
What? Yeah, no, you go, because Puerto Rico has a creaky frog.
Actually, sir, if you're gonna say it right,
what
it's coqui.
There you go.
And the most fascinating conversation I had this morning was Savannah trying to explain to one John Musa from Roomba, where he's Puerto Rican, that the coqui frog is in just in Puerto Rico.
Why do we whisper Puerto Rican?
Because you don't want to get in trouble. Yes.
No, no, because I thought it was funny that she was like trying to tell John about the coqui frog.
Yeah. Oh, right. I see. Yeah, yeah.
No, I've used to love frogs, and then I've lived in a house here in Florida. It's amazing. We are infested with frogs. Certain homes, man, they're just everywhere. If you have a pool, you dig them up. But yeah, the surprise of a frog jumping on you it scares you. I found one in the shower.
Because it's wet and, I don't know, like kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I moved my little conditioner, whatever, to the side. There it was looking at me.
Eyeball
to eyeball. And that thing goes directly and nails me in the face.
Oh, that's a little love. He was just giving you love.
I was punching and swinging in the air like Riddick Bowe in his final days.
Frog still in your face.
Oh, yeah. Laughing.
Firmly planted.
He just wanted a kiss. He wants to be a prince.
Yeah. I think they're mad because I did end up killing one the other day.
Oh!
Now, I'm telling you all my frog stories right now.
You animal.
We're having snail issues over my neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're everywhere. I don't know why.
Like big,
like the big ones. The ones.
Yeah, I mean that size for sure.
Wow, damn, I haven't seen those before.
You know what's always funny is when we get one of those crazy rains here, and then all the snails come out, and you'll see them in the foyer.
That's exactly the ones I have all around. Right. The walking paths are like full of them. It's crazy.
I have a little baby one, really small ones in the house.
Escargot.
Yeah,
escargot.
Eat the dub. The fun of living in Florida. That's what you deal with. It's just
wildlife.
You literally walk out. There's lizards fighting every day in front of my my doors.
Are you talking about lizards? You want to see some crazy lizards?
Yeah,
I was out at Slow and Low yesterday talking with Joel and Nicole, and if you go to their Cocoa Beach location, they got these. They're healthy because people have been feeding them, but they got these lizards with the tails that curl up.
Those are called scorpions.
Those are Cuban ones. Are they darker?
I guess they're
beating the hell out of the rest of the lizards. I'm serious. They're not from here. So, I love lizards, but...
You love lizards, but you're mad at frogs.
Yeah.
Because this frog tried to say, what's up?
Exactly. Sounds like a Jim Stafford song.
Oh, man. So, Motivational Minute is this. I posted this on Facebook, and I think we are living in the age of this, where we see everybody on social media, and we think they got it figured out. You see it.
What they have figured out is social media.
Right, you're right. But we do this, Jimmy. It's part of our psyche, even though it's the airbrush girl example. Yeah. Okay?
What do you mean?
Which is this. We look at a girl that we know they have been Photoshop face-tuned to the highest degree, and we go, damn, though, look at that perfect ass. And full well knowing, it's probably a little cottage cheese there. It's probably got a little scar on the side, but it's been reshaped and formed and put on the web for our entertainment.
You mean like Iggy Azalea?
Iggy's might be perfect. Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah, she's paid for that, but.
Yeah.
That's a Kendrick line, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Give me an ass some fresh, ass with some stretch marks. I mean, and he does that, and the girl walks in and out of the frame, and it just shows you what she really looks like.
Yeah.
And then what the airbrush version looks like.
And woke again.
And we all do it. We all do it. But you got to remember, every person you know doesn't have it all together. They're missing stuff in their life.
Whatever,
they're struggling.
Dude.
I know you do, Angel. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to say Will Smith has got it all together.
You know what? He might be the outlier. But you know what?
I could live that life.
I agree. No. For the portion that he shows you, for the portion that we all, Will Smith is the highest example, right? But I'm talking more of when you're a mother or you're a father and you look at other mother or fathers or relationships or families and you say, well, look at that family. They have it all figured out. Look, they got that picture up there. Mm-hmm. They see they're laughing. They're joking. You don't know what it took to get that photo. It is a facade. It is a facade, and it's a facade that we all are in on. But don't begin to beat yourself down and make yourself feel worse. It is an epidemic.
Don't compare yourself.
Don't compare yourself. We all are trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure it out. Everybody here on the show is trying to figure it out.
I've been trying for years.
So give yourself a break. Don't measure your success by what you haven't accomplished yet. Measure by how far you've come and you're still going. All right, and you're still going. So, hopefully that connects with some people out there. I wanted to run down real quick this day. Awesome day in movie history. One of the best films ever.
June 20th in history, okay?
Yep, in 1975.
This Close film, Encounters.
Nope, but what was next? What was before that?
Before that would be Jaws.
Boom. And think about how much money you made. But good, you get the win, Russ. That feels good, like the 7 o'clock hour, you see?
Boonga,
One Bacchanal.
One Bacchanal. It made $450 million. In 1975.
On this day. Wow.
It was the biggest movie I remember from my childhood that made the most impact on people in the sense of movies in a small town like I came from. Like, it was omnipresent.
And the fear, after you saw the movie way back then, the fear made no sense. If you saw Jaws and you went into a swimming pool, you were afraid to be in the water. You thought there was going to be a shark in the pool, but it couldn't happen.
Yeah, that's more of an IQ issue.
Oh, that was just me?
It was true, and it opened on... Okay, remember how many screens films open now that make this amount of money?
Like 3,500, 4,000?
4,100 around there, right? That's what the last Despicable Me, I think, did, right? In only 460 screens.
That's...
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? Something... But let's be fair, though. So back in the day... there was a thing called being held over.
Yeah.
Like a movie would usually come into town, play 2 weeks, and then get out of town, of course, unless it was selling.
Been held over.
I mean, Jaws, Raiders, to my hometown, movies like Smokey and the Bandit,
yeah,
would be held over for months. I mean, guys, it would play solid in my theater for 2.5 months.
Totally.
People would see it multiple times.
Was Mother Jugs and Speed held over in Palaka?
Can't remember that. Actually, even coming to the theater.
I watch that movie once a year. I have it on DVD.
And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, today in 1997, Russ, a film came out that starred Alicia Silverstone.
Uh-huh.
Uma Thurman.
Say it, Russ.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh.
You know this, right?
Oh, yeah, the worst. Oh, my God. The worst Batman ever. It was like Batman
and
forever. And Robin.
That's right.
Yeah, Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin came out.
It's the worst. It's so bad.
20 years ago. Or 21 years ago.
Yeah, matter of fact, it's so bad that they've got a whole thing where they go through all the different parts that make no sense. It's so stupid. It really was bad. Yeah.
George Clooney as first was not a good selection.
I disagree. I think he could have been a good Batman in the right movie. In the right, who did this one?
Steven Schumacher. Was it Joel Schumacher?
Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
Whoever did a horrible job. I thought he looked a lot like Bruce Wayne. He could have been a good Batman, but just a bad vehicle.
Yeah. Nah. And
I thought that was a good car.
And look at this, man. A year ago to the day, Tiger Woods checked into a clinic to manage his pain medication and sleep disorder following his arrest for driving under the influence. And a year to the date, the dude has rehabbed himself, his image, his popularity, a lot of his credibility. And if you're struggling with that right now, guess what? You can do that as well. It just takes that commitment and dedication. Mm-hmm. And I do know one thing. Today will be a great day. To the top, never stop.
All right, when we come back, Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Except maybe there. Get it from your app store. Search for iHeartRadio.
Good morning, we're Radio 104.1. Shout out to part of the Monster family. Joe Mann is listening to us right now in Nashville, Tennessee on the iHeartRadio app. We appreciate you listening to us.
They got you on that one.
Thank you so much.
My man? Joe Mann.
No, it actually came from his...
Joe Mann?
His name was Joe, and his last name was M-A-N-N.
That ain't Joe Mann.
Joe Mann.
That's my name.
Oh, the Manns in Tennessee? That's a strong family there.
Nashville, Tennessee. The Manns, yeah.
Yeah, Mann family.
In Tennessee. Listen with the iHeartRadio app.
Shout
appreciate
out to the
that.
Orlando Mans.
I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Carlos, Vince Taylor hanging out with us today. And now Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports.
Monster Sports is brought to you by my great friends over there at Harry Buffalo, located right there on Church Street. I invite you to come out this Saturday for the pregame party right there on Church Street before Orlando City takes on the Montreal Impact. Also, if you're an Orlando City fan, they are playing today. Now, they're participating in the U.S. Open Cup, and that's at 7 p.m. You guys know how these games aren't, nationally televised, so there's different ways to catch a broadcast or keep up with the score. Everyone knows how to do that, I think. But they're playing today, and then we'll see them again, MLS action, again this Saturday at 7:30. I'll probably be out there on Church Street by 5 p.m.
That's your street, dude.
I
you run Church that street.
I try to.
That's your street,
dog. I run up and down that street.
Hold it down.
If you guys had to guess, all right, we're going to eliminate this part of the question right up front. Right. What percentage of the population in the United States of America says they are at least, quote unquote, interested in soccer? And this is a Nielsen poll, study that they just recently did.
Nationally?
It's higher than it's ever been, I'll tell you what.
It is. This is the highest it's ever been. But when you see some of these other numbers, you're going to go, whoa.
So this is a nationwide poll asking Americans their level of interest is in the game of soccer.
Actually, Jimmy, it's a global poll.
Okay.
And the United States didn't even come in the top 20.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I would say, now, do you want the percentage of Americans that say they are
interested in soccer?
10%.
Higher than that.
I'm going to say 20.
20.
I'm going to say 12%.
12.
37%.
32%. And that's a high for the United States.
And I think Orlando, Florida is different just because of our franchise. I mean, almost everybody is into soccer in Orlando now.
Curious about that, the timing of that poll, because if you ask them during the height of the World Cup, when we're in the World Cup, I think it changes.
I would concede that. Now, what's fascinating, all right, and this is a global, you know, again, this is a global poll, a study that they did. If you had to guess, what country says percentage of the population interested in football, you would say, Jimmy, who would you guess?
Brazil.
All right, Brazil comes in at 13th with 60% of the population stating they're interested or very interested in football. Russ.
Like who's the highest?
The highest.
Germany.
Germany comes in at 14th with 60% of the population.
Really?
Admitting that they're interested or very interested. Los.
Orale, Mexico.
Mexico comes in 6th at 73% of the population, admitting that they're interested or very interested in football. Vince.
England.
England, the United Kingdom, comes in at 17th.
Oh, my God.
At 51%.
Who the hell's number one?
Can I go? Japan?
Japan comes in... Japan's not in the top 20.
Oh, Venezuela.
Venezuela, not in the top 20.
Uruguay.
That'd be a good one because
Uruguay, not in the top 20.
It's got to be Portugal.
Wakanda.
Portugal comes in at number 4 at 75% of the population saying that they're interested or very interested in football, soccer.
Can I pause the game quickly?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a bet with somebody that you can say the word Wakanda on our show every day you come in?
I want you to be honest with me, Black Panther Keekness.
I'm not going to hate, but I need to know if you have a running bet with somebody where you have to say the word Wakanda on this show every time you appear.
Let me see. How many am I up to today? Let me see. Wakanda.
That's the third Wakanda. Anyway, is it Canadians?
No,
Canada is not on there. So I'll give you the running down from the top five. Mexico comes in at number 6. Number 5 is Turkey with 75% of the population. Los hit it with Portugal at number 4 with 75% of the population. Number 3 is Chile with 75% of the population saying they're interested or very interested in football. Number 2 is Thailand at 78% of the population stating that they're interested or very interested in football.
It's either that or prostitution.
Number 1.
And again, this Nielsen study says that, and the poll they did, United Arab Emirates, 80% of the population says they're interested or very interested in soccer.
Wow. I was going to go there.
You liar. You're a bad liar, too.
North Africa.
All right, the little interesting tidbit. There are only 3.
Big net.
There's 3, and they call Grade Perfect Mint baseball cards of this gentleman. Who do you think it is?
Honus Wagner?
Not baseball.
Yeah, he's baseball.
Honus. It's a baseball player?
It's a baseball player. I'm sorry.
Perfect?
There are 3 perfect cards in existence of this particular player.
Babe Ruth.
Not Babe Ruth, but you're on the right path.
Sandy Koufax.
Not Sandy Koufax.
Mickey Mantle.
Mickey Mantle. All right, so Mickey Mantle. There's only 3 that are graded perfect baseball cards from 1952. Tops baseball cards of Mickey Mantle.
Oh, I didn't hear you say the year. My apologies.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I left that out. Colorado Museum has them. Has one of them on loan from July the 16th to the 8th. How much do you think the museum is charging you to walk in through their doors
and just see it?
Just to look at this damn baseball card.
I think the cards at one point, like just offshoot mantles, not even considered perfect grades, I think we're going for anywhere from $35,000 to $60,000. So they're a perfect one, I think, is probably $150,000. They're probably just charging, what, $11?
I think $15.
Russ, you almost hit it right on the head. The museum is charging $14 for people ages 16 and older to walk into their doors to look at a baseball card.
Like, there it is. There it is. Man, it looks just like the one I saw on the internet.
It's amazing how much even just a line width off center will decrease the value of a card. I had a Tony Gwynn rookie for years.
Yeah, rest in peace.
But it was off to the side, and the guy said, hey, man, that cost you half the value of the card.
Oh,
and it was printed a little askew. It kills it.
The regular ones, though, were kind of also had a little bit of a price to them.
Yeah, you know? I got a Dr. J rookie.
Oh.
So I always kind of, and if it seems like I'm kind of beating up this guy or relishing in his sometimes odd misfortune, it's because I am. I have no qualms saying that.
All right, who the hell is this?
Oh, you know, have you heard it yet?
No.
You're going to love this. So, Dwight Howard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I saw this.
New news.
Y'all be careful talking about my man.
Tighten up.
He got what he wanted, right?
Yeah. What's wrong with that? He gets to go to a, you know, pretty good team.
Oh, yeah? Brooklyn Nets? Great. Good for him.
Yeah.
The Charlotte Hornets and the Brooklyn Nets are reportedly finalizing a deal to swap centers Dwight Howard and Timothy Mozgov, and that's going from the Woj of ESPN.
Wow.
Basically, what
money
this
deal.
What this does for the Brooklyn Nets is that it gives them two full salary spots to make a run. The rumor is this. A lot of people think for some reason that the New York Knicks are the dark horse to get LeBron James in this.
I've heard that from several people.
Yeah, they, for whatever reason, they feel this. I don't know why.
Because New York controls the media.
Well, I mean, I would understand him going for that for those reasons. I don't know why a Knicks fan or people in the Knicks building
think, to play with the unicorn.
Think that they have that inside track on him.
I've never heard. I haven't heard the Knicks even being said in the entire thing. I've heard Philly and L.A., and that's it. And now, I guess Chris Paul is like leaning on him pretty hard to get him to come to Houston.
But he also admitted, Chris Paul also said that he knows that LeBron doesn't like the city of Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're never in the mix for any of these great players. None of these great players ever want to come to Orlando.
No. We got the draft tomorrow, and that's probably, hopefully that'll, you know, something will break our way and we'll have a fascinating draft.
I mean, the Kraken's cool, but eventually you're going to want a ring.
Yeah.
And then the other story that was really interesting was, we talked about it a little bit, but Greg Popovich and Kawhi Leonard apparently had dinner in San Diego and trying to hash these things out. And up until this meeting, it was the word was, or what everyone was saying, it was that it looked like the relationship was on amends and everything looked like it was going to be able to be repaired and whatnot. And then basically 24 hours after that, it's out there. Kawhi wants to go to L.A. He wants to leave San Antonio. He wants to leave Greg Popovich.
Did you hear Stephen A. yelling about that yesterday? Or the day before? He just yelled for five straight minutes. Like, just go. Everybody knows you want to go to L.A.
I think he was trying to get at him just to be honest about it.
Yeah. Stop talking about your quad and playing five games when they pay you like $1 trillion.
ESPYs are right around the corner, and these are the candidates up for best male and female athletes. In the men's section, we got Jose Altuve from the world champion Houston Astros, Alex Ovechkin from the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals.
Love that dude.
He's had the best celebration. He's been fun to watch during this whole run.
He's the Gronk of hockey.
No doubt. I saw the story on him, Rachel
Nichols. And they're all Gronks in hockey, really, if you think about it.
Sent out a story. I really didn't know that much about Alex Ovechkin other than a couple buddies of mine are like, he's the man. So I'm like, let me look into it a little bit more. What a fun, awesome,
unbelievable athlete, too.
I'll give the NHL guys this part of it. They definitely have the most fun with their celebrations and the tradition of each player gets to keep the cup for 24 hours and that whole process. And we've had the Stanley Cup in here before, and just that and how he documented all that. And he seemed to have or thoroughly enjoy that celebration.
It seems to me that the NHL has been immune to the idea of what's the word I'm looking for? They haven't been infiltrated by the sensitivity police yet. Like, they can still go out there and be just big dumb athletes and party and have a good time and swill beer out of the... And nobody really leans on them about being, socially conscious and politically correct. I kind of like that about that league.
Yeah. I'll round this out of the other nominees for best athlete. We've got New England's Patriot quarterback Tom Brady is in the mix, and Houston Rockets guard James Harden is in the mix. On the women's side, we have, and
Serena
Michaela, for if I mess up your last name, Olympia skier Michaela Schifrin.
Mm-hmm.
She's up for best athlete for the second time. And then the rest of the nominees, this is their first time. Sylvia Fowles of the WNBA, Minnesota Lynx, Olympia snowboarder Chloe Kim, and soccer player Julie Ertz are up for that award as well.
Chloe Kim's going to be hard to ignore there.
She was the real sweet girl from the Olympics, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and then right now we've got Portugal and Morocco playing, and Ronaldo hit a header in within like the first 4 minutes of the game.
Oh, my God.
And this is World Cup news. And then at 11 o'clock, you got Uruguay against Saudi Arabia. And at 2, you got Iran versus Spain.
All right.
And that's Monster Sports.
Thank you so much, Angel. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. Shout out to Alicia Santos, who listens to us in Delray Beach, Florida. It's Delray Beach, Florida, every day on the iHeartRadio app. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. You can check us out on our website at monsters.fm. It's a springboard for everything that we're doing. I'm Russ Rollins. I'm with Dirty Jim, Angel, Carlos, Vince Taylor with us today. And we have a guest from... For the mascot games, Dave is here with Nitro, who, man, he had a great year last year, didn't he? Nitro had a big year. What's up, buddy? Superstar, we man.
Easy to be Nitro these days.
We'll put Dave over here. Dave,
yeah,
right,
Dave right there. With
stand
the
right there. You got your microphone. And Dave, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Good seeing you again.
It's good seeing you, too. We get to see you every year for the mascot games. The mascot games are so much fun.
They are.
And it's a blast. The kids love it. And you do like two or three shows, don't you? How many shows?
We do Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. And we're going to be at the Saturday show.
Correct. That's a family show. That's where we stress the family coming. Friday is the summer camp, so we bring summer camps here from all across Central Florida.
And for those that don't know, when you hear about the mascot games, these are not just people dressed up in the these are the mascots these are the real deal. The real deal,
the
right?
real deal.
Not a mascot double.
And you've got Nitro here, who, man, you had a great year to, man.
It's good to be Nitro.
It's good to be Nitro this year, that's for sure. So let's see, I'm looking at the teams, and I'm looking at, like, who is what color and who everybody has. So, Carlos, do you want to say who you have?
Well, yes, I am happy to say that the team captain that I will be coaching is the one and only Stuff, baby.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm Magic Man. I feel like I hold the title of the Orlando Magic fan of Orlando, and Stuff and I work very well together. I actually gave him the idea of the Aaron Gordon dunk. I told him that, and... So we're going to crush it, as we normally do.
Yeah, you've got Stuff, you've got Louie. Where's Louie from? Who's Louie?
Louie is...
He's St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, St. Louis Blues. I got Sir CC, which one was that?
Cleveland.
Oh. Yeah. Stanley. Okay, I know Stanley.
Yeah, the Panthers.
Panther
yeah.
Shades. Lil
oh,
Red.
Shades from the...
Orlando Solar Bears.
Solar Bears.
Lil Red, that's from... Lil Red is from Oklahoma. The Sooners?
No, Nebraska.
Nebraska.
And he's the one that, I mean, all the kids love him because he's like a big blow-up thing and he turns upside down, right?
Awesome. That's right, yeah.
So that is the green team. So you are the green team.
Go, green, go. Go, green, go.
All right, now listen, I'm the red team.
Go,
okay?
Green, go.
And I'm sure this is the, Dave, I want you to look up the screen I got up here right in front of me. This is what, I'm going out to purchase this today.
Yeah.
So I have the perfect coach's outfit. And I'm going to suggest that Carlos and Angel, Savannah, do the same thing. What do you think?
That's not going to happen.
Good idea?
It looks professional.
It looks very professional, right?
Yeah. Professional softball coach.
So the red team, I've got Tommy Hawk. He's with who?
Blackhawks.
Blackhawks, yep, okay. Yep. I got a Rangers captain.
That's Texas.
Okay, and we got the New Jersey Devil. I know who
right.
he is.
Yeah.
Sebastian is with the Miami Hurricanes, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Then Bernie is...
Sanders, he's the socialist candidate.
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Totally different mascot. Who's
Having him,
Bernie's with he's with the Miami Heat.
Oh, the Miami Heat. Yeah. Ooh, okay. Who's it? Galazzo?
Yeah, he's with the soccer. The new soccer team down in Miami.
Galazzo. I got two Miami guys. And then that's someone else. Okay. So that's my team. That's the red team. I'm going to be all red up. Okay, how about you, Angel? Who do you got, buddy?
I didn't get the paperwork, dude.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So Angel has Finn.
Yeah, Finn is from Great Expectations.
Right. No.
Right, yeah.
Star Wars.
No, he's Vancouver.
From Vancouver. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Franklin. Who's Franklin?
Franklin's Philadelphia, the 76ers.
You got Champ, Angel. Champ is good. Champ is from...
Dallas.
Dallas, yes. Yeah. He's like a horse, right?
Yeah,
he's exactly. a horse. Yeah.
He's very athletic.
Yeah. He's very athletic.
Right, yeah. Hell of a runner.
And he likes to give you high fives a lot. Yeah. You got Rocky.
Ew.
Howler and Slugger. So, and then who does Savannah
have? What color is my team? I'm not the blue team?
You're the blue team.
Oh, we got this.
No, you don't.
Will you wear the blue coach's shorts?
No, I will not.
I'll wear green ones if you buy them.
Okay. I'm going to get some today.
34s, please.
I'll get you. You got
they have stretchy waistbands.
Good. Yeah, they're built for that.
Oh, yeah, they're built for moving.
They're elastic. Built for hard beer bellies.
Right, yeah.
So, Savannah has Nitro.
Yeah! Nacho's the best. Wow. Yeah. I went to UCF for 1 year.
And then the captain of that team is Jackson. Who's that?
Jackson,
That's from Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. The captain of that team is right in front of you, Russ. It's Nitro.
It should be Nitro. Yeah. We haven't just listened here. She's got Nitro. She's got Kingston. She's got Thunderbug. She's got Captain Fear, and she's got Coyote.
Kingston's awesome too. Yeah.
Yeah. That, man, that's a good team.
It is.
Why'd you give Savannah such a good team, man? She's got Nitro, and she's got
Nitro's undefeated. And Savannah, she's like, I don't know, I just want to run around and play.
Right.
He's telling me, who's Captain Fear? He scares me.
It's all this Saturday. If people want to get tickets, then just go to realradio.fm and get the tickets that way, right?
Sure, they can do that. Yep. They can go to, till noon today, they can go to newhopeforkids.org or to mascotgames.org and get tickets there as well, too.
Okay.
That's the best price is if they can do that by noon today.
Yeah. Gotcha. And then the New Hope for Kids, tell people what New Hope for Kids does.
Well, We're a unique organization in that we provide grief support to families in Central Florida that have encountered a death. Our focus is on the entire family. We have the Children's Grief Support Program. Families are enrolled for typically a year and a half to 2 years. There's no cost. There's an adult support program to guide the parents and in parenting grieving children and their own personal.
It's a great cause. And you guys do a wonderful job. Thank you so much for including us every year.
Yeah,
it's always
great.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. It's this Saturday. We'll be coaches at the mascot games at the Amway Center. Get your tickets. You'll enjoy it. It's 2:00. It's in the middle of the day.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Great for the family. Hope to see everybody out there.
Hey, thanks again for including us. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
You're listening to the Mantra of the Morning. Thank you, Nitro.
iHeartRadio is the easy-to-use app for music and radio. Download the free iHeartRadio app today.
Yo, radio. 104.1.
Hey, a big thank you to Meldado Lewis, who listens to us in Fort Hood, Texas, on the iHeartRadio app every single day. Appreciate that. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel and Carlos, and Vince Taylor, all here today. If you want me to give you a shout-out tomorrow, email me, russ@wtks.com. Just tell me the city and the state you listen to. We'll do our best to get you up there. There's a bunch that are coming through. And if you've got email, you want to send me an email and ask a question about something, then we can read those on the air as well. Matter of fact, this one, my honest answer to this question does happen to end up going back and have something to do with a client, but I honestly didn't think about it until I got halfway through answering, and I want to go ahead and read it because I think it makes sense. This is from, she says, keep it anonymous because she knows her husband listens every day, and they listen every day all the time. Says, hey, Russ, I was wondering if you and the guys could give me a really good suggestion. My husband's 40th birthday is coming up, and I have no idea on what to do for him. Any ideas of what would make a really great birthday? And said, this would really be greatly appreciated. Please keep it anonymous because I know that he listens. And my first thought was this. My first thought was my best birthday really ever was my 40th birthday. And what made my 40th birthday so great was Mark Marrow threw the party, and when it was time to blow out the cake, he said, hey, wait a minute, look in the backyard. And he had bought all these incredible fireworks, and I think he got them from Pyro Spot. And he had someone out there that just kind of lit the fireworks, and this big firework display.
I remember that. It was awesome.
And it was the coolest, and it doesn't cost you that much to have it done, because Dirty Jim, won't they just set up like what do they call that when they set up on a board?
Yeah, he can do something like that. He used to do it a little bit more, but as they got busier and busier, it was hard to kind of, hold up with the request, because you build them individually. But I'm sure if she went in and said what she was going to do, I'm sure he could accommodate that.
Yeah, but
basically it was you get a piece of plywood, and he would take 500 gram cakes, 200 gram cakes, some mortars, some sparkle shower type things, and some other stuff like that, where you light one fuse, and it basically is a fireworks show that lasts anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, and even though it turns out to be a sponsor, that was really the coolest thing for a birthday that I had, because it was just something you didn't expect. The big firework display. So I think that's a good suggestion. What do you got? 40th birthday.
I think you should invite random friends to a party in the bar area of Chili's. and make it awkward with work friends, with people that are in your other life? No, I have no idea because I'm not there yet. And I think your idea is really, really good.
Yeah.
Dave and Buster's may be my other one.
Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's is good.
Hey, Angel, real quick before we go any further. So do you have a deal with somebody outside that you say Dave and Buster's at least one time on the show a day?
It's with Dave and Buster's.
And then is it can co-op with his Wakanda thing?
Yes, it
okay,
is.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Angel, what about you?
I would say a couple, like you at this time or at this point in this guy's life, you want to try to celebrate moments or things that you can't normally do, right?
Right.
So one of the neat things right now is with the golf, I would go to Drive Shack or a place like that and go out there.
Oh, that new Top Golf thing.
Yeah. So Drive Shack's the company that does, you know, does business with us.
Yeah.
So I would say go to them and, you know, and do that because that's a lot of fun and you can invite a lot, you know, couples and other friends with you to do that and do that as a group event. Another cool thing would be a weekend and if he's a car guy, an exotic car rental. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a really good idea.
Get to drive something that obviously you probably would never be able to afford, but you know, you
stay an exotic.
An exotic. You stay at a cool hotel downtown. You have hotel sex. You're driving in the cool car.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, or Jimmy, car six.
Jimmy's suggestion for 40th birthday for a listener been listening for a long time.
God almighty. See, here's the weird thing. So you don't know if this dude is into hanging out with his buddies,
right,
or you don't know if he's like somebody that likes to just spend time with her. Because if it's spend time with her type thing, you know, like a staycation somewhere is cool. Of course, we're talking to the guys over at Visit St. Pete Clearwater, and we stayed in an amazing spot over this weekend, and it was really awesome. But 40th birthday is kind of an iconic thing. God, man, I don't know. Like a big concert? Like somebody, like find his favorite band, find out if they're on tour.
And fly to
and
that.
And then fly to it and do it.
That's good. That's
something
really
like that's
good,
very cool. Surprise, by the way. When my wife took me to New Orleans for the very first time for my 40th,
yeah,
I had no idea we were going. She said, get a bag, get in the car, and let's go. Like literally woke me up. And
that's
said,
cool.
Pack a bag, let's go. And I didn't know until we got to the curb and checked our bags where we were going. And I thought that was like the coolest thing. Which she's exceptionally good at that.
Is it? Are we going to see Twain in New Orleans?
Let's go, boys.
For Bo's 40th, he went on all of us went on a cruise with him. Like all of his friends went on a cruise.
That's a very Bo thing to kind of do. He likes to party, he likes to have fun.
A cruise is not the worst thing ever because it's very affordable. It has everything you need there if you get a good cruise line and a good destination,
and you can hang out with all your friends, or you can have time alone too, because your friends can go do other stuff on the cruise ship, and you can have times to be together and times where you just go do your own thing.
And if you want it to be really special, you let them know way in advance. Like, let's say you're going to do it in October, let them know, hey, we're doing this, and
you're invited.
They book their cruise. He thinks it's just you and her.
Right.
You get on the cruise ship, going to one of the restaurants, and there's a big blown out party.
All your buddies. Yeah,
and again, going back to my experience, my wife told Code Black and his wife, so when we get to the New Orleans airport, he jumps out, and there they are to hang out with us for the entire weekend and ruin our sex.
What do you think, Vince? 40th birthday.
Oh, wonderful.
Sex is always good. Throw that on the table. I'm not going to lie, man. I like this idea of going to see your favorite band in your favorite city. I'm wondering if there's tickets to Kissimmee so I can see Jeff Howe.
Yes, there is. Tickets are available.
But I ain't gonna lie, I'm looking forward to that. I think that, I ain't gonna lie, Jim's idea sounds the best, man. There's some sort of cruise. Anytime you can celebrate with your friends and have a bunch of people and celebrate it, maybe a cake and maybe somebody jumps out of it, I don't know.
In a safe environment.
Yeah, man.
You know, an environment where it's all kind of inclusive and you can do a bunch of different things. You can have dinner, you can drink until you fall over,
right.
You can gamble, you can chill on the beach.
Yeah, personally, I love being surprised, man. So any way she can do that, I think that's the way to go.
Well, yeah, good. Very good. Well, those are some suggestions. Hope some of those help you. If you got questions like that, you can always email me, russ@wtks.com. Get to hear a little bit from everybody. This is another one. I thought of Carlos when I read this particular email. This is from Andy.
Sexy Cuban steals a heart.
Andy says, been listening for a long time, religiously every morning. I want to see if you could put this in your email section. It says, my girlfriend told me a story yesterday that turned my stomach, and I didn't know how to react to it, and I thought I would run this by you guys, see what you think.
Oh, great. Uh-oh. Thanks. I'm glad you thought of me, turning stomachs. Carlos definitely turned stomachs.
You'll see why here in a second. She's a waitress at a low-end franchise place that shall go nameless.
What's a low-end franchise place?
I don't know.
Let's don't name any. How's that?
Yeah, I know, but I'm just wondering what that could be.
Yesterday, she had such a rude, obnoxious customer that he made her cry after the chef forgot to cook the burger the right way and called her a slew of insults, including stupid and other choice words.
This is rare.
When she returned the food to the chef and she was crying, told him what had happened. The cook cooked the burger well and then spit on top of it. She and I were both grossed out, but felt like the guy, it was kind of justice. He had it coming to him for making her cry. I don't know what to think about this. She, by the way, felt the same way. Kind of good about it, kind of bad. Didn't know how to feel. What do you think, guys? Is this justice there for making a woman cry or not?
Ain't I'm a little Cajun seasoning.
Now, you know why I thought of you, because you told us stories from a long, long time ago.
Long time ago, when I was a 16-year-old.
Yeah, let's leave those there.
Yeah, working at a
fast food
place. Right, yeah,
but anyway, so made the woman cry. She called her names and stuff like that. So the chef spits on the burger, and she did take the burger back to the guy.
Complicit.
How do you feel? I mean, so the question is, how do you guys feel? Do you feel it was justice there?
I'm sitting there wondering, where did I go yesterday, and how bad did I treat the waitstaff?
Yeah. I tell you, I felt bad about it after I did it.
You did?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like a straight-up movie when I was working there. I was working the drive-thru. This was the worst person we had ever had. Like, literally screaming.
Really mean lady.
Cursing. And it was so much that everybody in the headset was like, dang. And then when she got up, she was like, yay, miss, it's a blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we go in the back. And then
were 16 at the
time. I was 16. And we go in the back. And there's four of us. And like, man, we should spin our stuff. And I remember it was a melt. And I won't say the first part of that.
It's a booger melt.
Yeah. And I go, yeah. And mob mentality. And so I go, and I did. I spit a little loogie in. And I look, the 16-year-old petty ass, stupid, crazy Carlos. Shut it back up. I'll never forget this. I walk over, almost proud to hand it to this lady. She's like, I hand it over. She snatches it out of my hand. Thank you. I swear to God. She goes, here, boys, turns around and hands them to her kids. The kids, and they take off, biting into these little ones. And I'm like, no, it was meant for your bitch-ass mom.
That would actually make me feel better about it.
Wow. And that was my experience, and I've never done anything like that again. I'm sure I have received spit burgers in karmic ways.
I think even if you're angry about it making her cry, it's still wrong. It's wrong. It's not.
Well, I mean, if you're asking though if justice was served, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Asking if justice served was correct or proper, that answer would probably be no.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, they had something coming. Yeah, but you should be in a burger. That's one meal of three or four meals of your day, and on top of that, it's a cheap burger. You should probably not expect so much.
And some people get so mad about things like that, and they blow it out of proportion. They're screaming at a waitress, or it's so easy to take something out on someone that they don't really deserve.
They haven't dealt with their own issues. If you're yelling at somebody, making a server cry over the temperature of your burger, you have a lot of things going on in your own life.
You're taking out anger somewhere else on somebody who is indefensible. That's what you're doing.
And do you think
cannot fight back.
Exactly. They do that on purpose. And in the rest of their life, they really can't talk to anyone like that.
Right.
So they go to a server and they think, oh, it's a server. They can't say anything because they want to keep their job. So they actually can flex a little muscle and act like they're a badass.
They're projecting.
They're trying to be. I don't know. Like that whole idea of spitting in the burger thing is pretty horrible.
Yeah,
it's kind of the thing like you don't mess with a man's car.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how big a jerk this person is, you don't mess with their food.
Right, figure out another way, because that's one of those things where, not to mention, you're getting into some health issues there that, they certainly aren't worth that. I mean, you got yelled at for a burger, it happens. You're in the fast food business, man. You're gonna encounter some alien human beings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you kind of, know where you are type thing.
Go ahead.
No way.
I was going to say, you never mess with people who pay you and people who make your food.
Yep. That was a hard thing, when I first started my own business. To realize in business that, you're supposed to keep, the customer's always right. And, and there would be customers that would come in and want to yell at me about some piece of equipment didn't work or something like that.
Yeah.
And I could not keep my temper.
Yeah. I'm not cool about it either.
The best is that I've worked in retail places before where I didn't give an F. Like, I didn't care. And they would come up and they start yelling at me. And in my head, I'm going, I don't care. Because how many times have you talked to somebody, you're like, I'm taking it out on this person that has nothing to do with the situation, and you can hear it and they're going,
but
it's funny, a lot of people don't even know. I remember a print customer of mine years ago was intolerable, and he wasn't like mean, he was just super, well, a little bit mean, but more needy than anything, and it just took up so much of my time. And I remember he came in one day to get a, you know, to set an order, and I had all of his artwork and all of his stuff in a box. And I said, you need to find somebody else, and he was heartbroken.
Yeah,
he had no idea. Breaking news.
We have got breaking news.
What? Oh my God, that scared the hell out of me.
Jeez.
What is it?
Ben Affleck is no longer Batman.
Ah! That was worth the champagne.
Wow.
Ben Affleck is no longer Batman. Who's the new Batman?
They haven't named his replacement.
But they said for sure he's not Batman anymore.
But Ben's out.
Yeah, I'm putting my money on Zac Efron.
They're saying that he
deserves it. I mean, that guy is a damn saint.
Is he big enough?
I don't know, but hey.
Yeah, the modern-day Batman has to be kind of tall, right? Zac Efron's not a tall guy. And if you look at it, if Christian Bale and Ben Affleck are taller dudes.
Yeah.
But you can do anything with heels, bro. I mean, come on.
Zac Efron's he's too good looking too. He's not classically.
He's more of a showman.
Yeah.
But you gotta remember the alter ego of Batman is a very debonair billionaire. So I mean, he's not a logger.
What are the chances they'll find just someone, an unknown actor that can, you know?
0.0.
Oh, really?
Let's look at the history of the character. 0.0.
Come on, man.
Yeah, no, man. That's going to be a coveted role of somebody who can really.
Well, if they're going by straight brute force, they might want to look at Tommy Lee's son. Because shoot, man,
no suit needed, huh?
That's a good point. Where are you going to be, Vince Taylor?
Tonight, I'm in Daytona Beach at the 90 Degree Bar, and next week again, this very date, I'm at Orlando Improv. Get your tickets right now and go online. And the keyword is joy for free passes.
Very good. Tomorrow on the Monsters. Tomorrow's Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Tomorrow morning on the Monsters, we've got Where You At, right, Dirty Jim?
Yeah, Where You At and Meat of the Week.
Oh, yeah. We didn't get Meat of the Week last week.
What the hell? We did not.
You were sick.
Yeah,
so
buddy,
you
got
to double it up tomorrow as we have extra food?
I don't know. We'll have to ask. Maybe so. Have to tune in.
All right. That's tomorrow with the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Mascot Games coming up this Saturday. We're going to be coaches. You want to join us for that? It is always a lot of fun, and we found out our teams. So seriously, when I go today to buy my red coaches shorts, do you want me to get you your blue ones?
Yes. Yeah, I thought
No, you're getting green.
If you can find a pair of green 34-32, which I think they stretch, I will absolutely wear.
Okay.
I've always kind of wanted to wear that.
Angel, you want me to get you blue ones, right?
I'm good. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. Good looking out.
All right,
get him some nutters, dude. What are you kidding,
bro?
Victory Casino Cruise. We're going on this cruise with our friends from Real Laughs. Real Laughs, you hear at night on Real Radio 104.1. It's the Monsters and Real Laughs going together. Vince Taylor's going to come along as well. I think Bo the Big Man Rhodes is coming. Of course, Carlos is coming. All the guys from Real Laughs will be performing on the way out to sea, and we'll go out and gamble and have a great time. It's if you want to get tickets to get the special deal, realradio.fm/victory. That's realradio.fm/victory. Dear Jim, what you got coming up?
Yeah, Primetime Kitchen is having their boozy brunch this Sunday at Tapaturo down behind the Orlando Eye. It's $35. All you can drink, all you can eat. And Wendy Lopez, the chef, is one of the best in the city of Orlando. We're going to have a cooler from Yeti, a $300 cooler, a Shun knife, tons of prizes, flamenco dancing, and it's a lot of fun. Just go to Primetime Kitchen's Facebook page and click on events. Get your tickets there. There are only about 20 left, so go grab them.
Nice.
Yeah, check. I actually got informed recently that I'll be at the Ocala Comic Con this weekend. I'll be there. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, a bunch of people from Stranger Things, a couple other shows. But Ocala Comic Con is a really great convention. Obviously, it's in Ocala. It's at the Hilton out there. But I'll be there Sunday and possibly some of Saturday. Hit me up on Instagram or whatever. It's To The Top Carlos. Looking forward to being out in Ocala.
One of these days, we can do these comic book conventions together.
I know, dude. Yeah.
I'll have my own comic book, and you'll be there for y'all Walking Dead.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. And if you, also, too, if you can check this out. Go to 1-800-PIT-SHOP, 1-800-PIT-SHOP to get tickets for the Monster Midway Sweet Party at the Coke Zero Sugar 400. It's going to be a blast. Stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters. At 3 o'clock, it's the one and only Jim Phillips from the Phillips File. Then it's Tom and Dan. Then it's Real Laughs with Monster Comics. And then it's back to us to do our thing tomorrow morning. From Dirty Jim, Angel, Vince Taylor, and Carlos Navarro.
And the leader of this mess is a merry man, Russ. I'll play Batman, Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell up out of here.
Swirl.
There's anything wrong with radio, get us on your phone
and go anywhere.
There are a few exceptions. What up, Orange County?
Download the iHeartRadio smartphone app
and then search for Real Radio 104.1.
Guys, it is time to change your life. Make a positive change for yourself.
Best friends you never knew you had. Running through the most viral stories of the day.
The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and Celine.
The news junkie for a Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. Lots to get to today. From the kids in cages debate rolls on to why politicians should stop trying to help the service industry. And did this guy really shoot himself in the genitals? Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Happy hump day.
Hello, C-Lane.
How we doing?
Lots going on in the world, and we actually have to start out with, I should have given you a heads up on this, Sabrina. There's a bombshell world exclusive.
Oh, my God.
I mean, legitimately, a bombshell world exclusive.
Wait, what is it called again?
A bombshell world exclusive.
Bombshell world exclusive.
To our friends over in Ocala, I mean, legitimately, watch out for the falling bombs today. The U.S. Navy has been just dropping bombs, like real bombs, on the Ocala National Forest.
Oh, no. That's where I go camping.
Is it really? They're dropping bombs on your campgrounds right now. And I saw this story and I said, wow, is this something that they do often? I haven't heard of this all that much. But they just start dropping these bombs in the Pine Castle Range Complex.
They telling the forest it's fat?
God. The Naval Station said jets are also expected to be in the area in the afternoon and evenings with inert bombing. So bombs that just drop and don't explode in the evening and the afternoon. And then in the mornings, real bombs.
Why?
That are exploding for some sort of testing they're doing.
Okay, what about the trees and the animals?
Oh, the animals are not doing so well. The animals, because of the explosions and loud noises, are running onto nearby roads, and it's becoming an issue. So if you live around there, you drive around there, you find yourself around there, watch out. You might see extra stuff out in the road. Be careful. I mean, the bomb's going off in Ocala. What a weird, weird thing. They said it's 2 miles west of Camp Ocala campgrounds near several hiking trails. Is that by where you go, C-Lane?
I don't know. Let me see.
Camp Ocala campgrounds.
Well, that's a little bit redundant of a name.
Yeah, they're just dumping these things out of the sky. And here you go.
Welcome to Camp Campsite.
Full explosion. I can imagine just sitting there and you're hunting or you're camping with your family and, you know, the bomb starts dropping down on out of this. What is that up there? Oh, God.
Forgot to get rid of that last little ping. That's probably not what you're going to hear.
It's a small bomb. I mean, you probably won't hear much, to be honest, because it's going to hit the ground and just completely and totally explode and blow up everything that's around it. Let's go over to Jeremy. Go ahead, Jeremy.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, go ahead.
So I do a lot of hunting out in the Ocala National Forest.
Yeah.
And there's a legitimate bombing range in the forest that you can drive up to with big craters in the ground. And the only thing stopping you from going in there is a tiny metal guardrail, like on the side of the road.
So you could really, you could just walk over this thing if you wanted to.
Anytime you want to.
God, and so do they do this a lot out there? Uh-oh. Did we lose you, Jeremy?
Yep.
They're trying Yeah, they're trying to shut off the truth again.
Yeah, you got bombed.
Let's see here. Paul, go ahead, Paul.
Wow. Hey, Sean, it's Tom.
Yeah, Tom, go ahead, Tom.
Hey. They've had that bombing range up there for almost over 60 years. It's just a big field out there that the Navy controls and runs.
Uh-huh.
No animals are getting hurt.
Okay.
They do security and safety checks before they start missions. It's really old news, man.
But no, they're doing it today and this week with live ammunition, so it's definitely not old.
They've been doing it for over 50 years with live ammunition.
Every year?
So it's current news.
Right. So they've been doing a lot of things for 50 years, but they're doing it right now, so it's current news for the folks who are in Ocala who are seeing this happening right now.
It's nowhere near the city of Ocala. It's north of Altoona, Florida.
Altoona?
Of Highway 19.
And what are you defending, Tom?
Yeah.
You're really passionate about this.
I actually guys, I like you. I just, y'all get the facts wrong a lot.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's in the news.
On what? All right, see you later, buddy. Goodbye. Just keep it together through
ABC,
one conversation.
Action News, WFTV, Orlando.
Oh, you can't believe those sources. There's nothing true about that.
So I don't understand what he's saying. Like, I don't know. Is it not happening or is it happening? We understand that it's been there for a while, but let's also acknowledge that they're still doing it right now.
That it's happening now or throughout the day today.
Also, don't get us all pissed off on a hump day, sir.
Also, I didn't know that there was a bombing range there.
And I didn't either.
Here's a learning moment for the both of us that doesn't have to be, you guys are just getting your facts wrong and you're a bunch of stupid liars.
Fake news.
Yeah, okay, cool. Also, because I didn't know that, say I was somewhere near, I don't know, Ocala and saw planes dropping bombs.
Yeah.
I might think, something weird is going on
here.
Sure,
what is this all about?
So maybe it's nice to tell the people that this goes on, and maybe we're not assholes for not previously knowing this. Talking to you, Tom.
You guys get your facts wrong.
The thing I like the most about this is he says, it's not hurting any animals. Yeah, I mean, the animals get the message, right? They throw out some animal flyers to the animals, and they all go, come on, guys.
No, the animals look up WFTV every morning. The fake news, I guess.
They get on their little squirrel computers. They dial it up. They find out what's happening, and they don't worry when the bomb explosions go off.
It does make me feel better that it's, you know, there's a field for it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure animals are avoiding it, or the dumb deer, Steve, that found its way over there probably will not see another day.
Let's go over to Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, this has been going on for over 50 years. I hear that all the time. It's a bombing range in Ocala National Forest. There's nothing to it.
All right, nothing to it. Everything's okay?
Everything's okay.
All right, good. All checks out. No worries there. One more. Let's go to Austin. Go ahead, Austin.
Yeah, I actually live out there a couple miles from the bombing range, and they do it, you know, a couple times a year, and it's all blocked off. You can go out there and, you know, watch or whatever, you know, get to a safe distance away.
Can you hear
They've been doing it. Yeah, you can feel it. You know, it rattles the house. You know, they put it out in the paper, you know, let you know, what days they'll be doing it so no one's surprised. And yeah, they do it all the time, live and fake ammunition.
When they're done, can you just descend upon the range and pick up shrapnel?
I've never gone out there after the bombing, but good. Like I said, living out here for years, you feel it. It shakes the house.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't think they would want people out there. What if there was, like, unexplode ordinances or something? Though I'm sure they try. Don't hit me with those calls, too. This is totally normal, Sean. Everything that's happening happens. All right, just for those folks, they are doing it. They do it a couple of times a year.
For the last 50 years.
Right now happens to be one of those times. So there we go. Those of you out there in Ocala, beware if you don't already know. Maybe you're new there, and it's just happening. You're hearing, what was that? The hell was that over there? And you need to be aware.
I heard John Travolta was spotted in Ocala recently. That's fun.
Oh, I see. I see. You're talking about Gotti, the movie? That was a bomb?
No. Oh. I'm talking about the fact that he lives there, that people call it, John Travolta has lived here for 30 years, and we're nice to him. We don't talk to him.
I thought you were going with Gotti is a bomb, and that's what was the tie-in.
That's just a really, really lucky coincidence.
Well, there's so much talk about this movie now, actually, this terrible-looking John Gotti flick with John Travolta in it. And now they said there's a lot of people thinking that the movie company behind this, the production company, is sending out people to put in user reviews. Because we heard that the critic reviews of Gotti were zero. Tomato review, Rotten Tomatoes was 0%, which is going to scare people away from your film. All of a sudden, they started advertising, the reviewers don't like it, but the people love it.
Yeah.
And there were so many reviews from people, it didn't make sense comparatively with the box office numbers and everything they were doing. Good God. I went around to see some people who were talking about Gotti to see what they thought about it, to see if that matched up with the user reviews.
Gotti is about John Gotti and stuff, and John Travolta plays the role of John Gotti. This is basically him becoming the rise of power of the Teflon mob family, of the Gambino mob family in New York City and stuff, his incarceration, his rise and fall to power with his son, his wife, his daughter, and all that. it's about John Gotti, and this movie is fucking garbage.
Garbage! Not so good, he says.
No, but I'm tired of, you know, taking everyone's word for it at this point. Everyone seems to just go to movies to see what they hate about it.
Well, in this case, they're saying that they're faking the user reviews, though, which would be weird as hell to do, but I get why they would do it. Like, is it possible for a movie to have a zero Rotten Tomatoes and then a 70-something user review? Like, could there be that big of a disconnect?
Yeah.
Between the reviewers and the people. Have you ever seen a movie that had really, really low Rotten Tomatoes and you watched it and you were like, Freddy Got Fingered is fantastic?
I just made sure, just want to make sure I could pull that later. I have, and it's a little disappointing and discouraging when you do see like a 3% on Rotten Tomatoes but end up enjoying it. Mm-hmm. It may not be what the critics are looking for in a film, but if people go there and still enjoy it for how corny it is, then I think that it deserves a review for that.
Well, that's why they have the difference between the two of them. And there are a lot of people. Like, we talked about this movie. What's the damn scary one that's out there now that everybody's...
Hereditary.
Hereditary was one where the reviewers are like 92% and the user reviews are like 50, and there's this big gap. And that really impacts the bottom line of a lot of these production companies. So what they may be doing... It's not crazy or out of the picture. It's just getting hordes of people to go over there, just like businesses do. You know, a damn hot dog stand might send a couple of friends over there to go, these hot dogs are the best hot dogs in the world.
Is that weird that, you know, I've been to a place where they've offered me 10% off what I'm purchasing if I go and leave a review?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've been to a place that offered the same thing if I talk about them on the radio.
Oh, really? Yeah, but the discount on that should be a little bit better. When you do that, I don't think there's anything wrong with it as long as you're being honest. And I guess as long as these Gotti people are being real about it.
Now, Sabrina witnessed the worst of them all, where somebody who wants to, say, get some good reviews for their cellular telephone repair shop might participate in a local bar crawls, scavenger hunt kind of thing.
Yeah, no one can move forward unless you showed them the 5-star review you left on Google.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, when you look at it, it makes you question the reviews that are out there. Watch out for that potential bomb, Watch out for the bombs in the Ocala National Forest.
I'm looking at the pictures of this bombing range,
yeah,
or at least the entrance, and it's a huge sign. U.S. Navy bombing range. Live bombing exercises may be in progress. Unexploded ordnance, just like you meant. You say there might be unexploded bombs. Do not enter. Looks pretty, like...
Does it look scary?
There's a little daunting.
It would be cool to be the pilot who got to hit the button on the bomb dropping.
And to answer your question, it is exactly, let me see, measure distance, 6.12 miles south of where I camp. So
it's not too far.
You better not miss.
Hopefully they're on target. They're professionals, I think. They know what they're doing, right? Lots of stuff going on in the news today. Your dispatches, irate or not, will roll in when we come back. Plus the latest on this immigration story that's gripped the nation. What is going on there and what's going on with this vote that is scheduled for tomorrow that may make a change in everything that people have been arguing about? Details on that and so much more next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Nobody else is going to put up with your nonsense.
Call now, toll free, 888-978-1041.
Real Radio.
104.1.